Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Trying to get to the miners. Six of them trapped 1,700 feet down, nearly 3.5 miles into the earth in Utah. Mine owner, Robert Murray.
We've broken seals here 3 hours ago in an old set of main entries. And we're going to try to go in there on apparatus in these old entries that parallel where these men are.
If they can, he says, it would be a simple enough push through 100 feet of earth to reach the men.
We know they're there, and they couldn't have got out by there because of the materials back here. We're absolutely certain they're there.
No indication so far whether they live or not down there. Investigating the bridge collapse in Minneapolis is a big job, and it's important, but there are still 8 people missing, their bodies believed to be in the Mississippi River.
It's a fluid plan with first and foremost the priority of honoring and working toward honoring the victims and treating that site with the deference it deserves until everybody is recovered.
Minnesota Transportation spokesman Bob McFarland there. A huge crane is taking its position to help lift the big pieces. With the collapse of American Home Mortgage and the sea change in mortgage requirements among the big-time lenders, analysts are wondering what the impact of the foreclosure flood will be. Going forward, if zero-down mortgages go out the window and they seem headed that way, it means roughly 4 out of 10 new first-time home buyers may be pushed out of the market. On Wall Street today, the Dow made a big leap, up nearly 287 points to close at almost 13,469. The Nasdaq also jumped, gaining 36 points.
It was another late day buying binge by investors who wanted a reason to get back into this market. The recently beaten down financial stocks were snapped up. A lot of investors still have confidence in the financial sector despite all of the woes we're seeing in the mortgage market.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. Oil prices today fell $3.42 to $72.06 a barrel. Not only is Bill Gates not the richest man in the world anymore, he probably will not move back to the top, says Stephanie Mehta of Fortune magazine.
Bill Gates is methodically giving his money away in large numbers, and Mr. Slim, while he has increased his charitable giving over the years, is not doing anything nearly on the scale of a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett.
$59 billion. Carlos Slim and his family control 5% of Mexico's gross domestic product, and his companies comprise more than a third of the Mexican stock market. Lack of sex is leading to work in Germany. How can that happen? Researchers say 35% of office workers say their unsatisfying sex lives drive them to work harder and longer as a diversion. And for those with no sex life at all, 45% say they look for extra work just to keep them busy. This is CBS News.
Pump 4 is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Women of childbearing age, listen up. It is very important for the children you may yet bring into the world to try to be fit before you become pregnant. Fat may be bad for the baby.
University of Texas researcher Kim Waller studied 16 different birth defects in children. She connected 7 of them to mothers who were obese before pregnancy. Is diabetes the culprit here?
Obese women are more likely to have diabetes, so we think undiagnosed diabetes may account for some or all of these findings,
which appear in the archives of pediatrics and adolescent medicine. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Doctors at Britain's Royal College of Physicians say alcohol is killing people people more than ever there. Cirrhosis of the liver deaths have risen dramatically over the last 20 years in Britain while going down in most of the Western world. The pub, they say, is a fine tradition, but binging is just dumb and may just kill you. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Every one must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
It's okay to start over. And I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. It's okay to start over.
This is Dr. Phil like you've never experienced him before. This is Dr. Phil on Match.com.
It's okay to say I'm going to take everything I've learned and I'm going to let those things shape me into a better partner.
He'll give you insights. Match.com will give you a guarantee. We're so confident you'll meet someone special in 6 months. We guarantee it. So go ahead. It's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
Hello and welcome, everybody. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. And I am Christine Kraft. My pleasure to sit in as well for Peter B. Collins, my friend and colleague. Peter B. is on an extended hiatus. It sounds like it would hurt, doesn't it? But it doesn't. He'll tell you all about it when he gets back on August 13th. Well, Friday night, I was up late. I was getting sleepier. Why? Because Deborah Bowen was going to make a very exciting announcement. Yes, she was. One that sent shockwaves through some of the greedy and lazy elections officials in this state. And not all of them are. There are some really great ones who put as their first agenda item assuring that people in California can vote securely and safely and that that vote is counted correctly. People like Freddie Oakley in Yolo County. But for the ones like the registrar down in Los Angeles and a few other places, they're just shocked because they went out there and they spent all those millions of dollars to buy those voting machines without even assuring in advance that the things were secure. They know they're not secure. They don't care. Well, Deborah Bowen, very exciting announcement Friday night, right at the stroke of midnight, just about. And we're going to talk to Brad Friedman at 3:30 today, and he's going to give us the information we need to know. Do not depend on the mainstream media to tell you anything significant about this, because most of them, and I would include the reporter at the Sacramento Bee, I would include the reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle, have taken the time to actually go to the website of the Secretary of State of California and look at these specific voting machines, hack-tested, top-to-bottom performance review by the best computer scientists in this nation from the University of California. They have failed to actually look at what these scientists found. So reporters, don't write stories like Kevin Yamamura did, oh, Deborah Bowen bowing to fears that machines might... No, if she'd been bowing to anything, she would have taken the bribe, Kevin. You're missing the story here. She didn't bow. She didn't take the money. She did the right, the noble thing. So we will talk to Brad Friedman about the specifics, what it means for you in the February presidential primary. Specifically, we will do that at 3:30. But right now, let's talk to Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good, and you? Thanks for having me.
Well, you're so welcome. I had to crack up. I was reading Media Matters, and it was a very interesting story. And I've wondered this from the very beginning, and I have a feeling you have a take on this. And this is the Glenn Beck phenomenon.
Yeah.
So here's a guy whose ratings, to put it bluntly, suck.
Right.
And yet he gets to be on CNN endlessly for no good reason. In fact, the piece that you wrote is, how low in the ratings can Glenn Beck go? And it caught my eye right away. At the same time, Paula Zahn, whose ratings were much better than Mr. Beck's, she gets canned. What gives here?
Well, it's interesting, you know, when there's the debate about talk radio, you know, conservatives, you know, obviously do very well, and they always say, well, you know, if liberal talk radio had the right host and if they had the right issues, they'd have a big audience. But the reason liberal radio doesn't get as big as audience is because people aren't that interested, meaning, you know, the marketplace decides. And so here's Glenn Beck, who goes on CNN Headline News, comes in last night. I mean, he comes in last, you know, month after month after month, 18 months into this experiment.
Oh, just give him a try. It's only been a year and a half. Yeah.
So what happened to the marketplace argument? I mean, if any other person at CNN had come in last place for 18 months in a row, they might make a programming change. But as I said, he appears to have a green light to drive his ratings into the ground without the slightest fear that CNN is going to make any programming move, even though, as you mentioned, their sister network just threw Paula Zahn overboard, even though her ratings were 30% higher than Glenn Beck's. So I wrote in jest that CNN seems to be running this, affirmative action program for conservative talk show hosts.
Oh, and it's just, I mean, I hate to say, I knew Rush Limbaugh quite well. I gave him his first job in television. Don't get mad at me. He was very talented. He still is, I suppose, though I haven't listened in years. He was here in Sacramento.
Right, right.
And actually very fun to know, and in a personal sense, very, very gentlemanly. He worked over in the television newsroom where I was the anchor and news editor, and I hired him. I thought he wasn't too terrific on television.
All your fault.
It's all my, no, but anyway, at least he had talent.
Yeah.
And I look at someone like Glenn Beck and some of these wannabes, including
right.
Hannity. I don't see what the talent is.
Well,
in
you know,
Rush,
Glenn Beck does very well on the radio, but remember when Rush tried to do TV?
Yeah.
You know, Roger Ailes produced his nightly TV show. That bombed, and that was off the air in a matter of months. Glenn Beck is very successful in syndicated radio, but essentially he's sort of had the same experience as Rush Limbaugh had on TV, except CNN appears to have... like I said, he seems to have this green light to just, you know, have weak ratings ad nauseum. And what I point out in July was interesting. In early July, before Paula Zahn got canned,
Yeah. She
was on vacation, and this was the first time Glenn Beck came over from CNN Headline News, and he hosted Paula Zahn's show, on the mothership on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
His ratings were so bad on CNN, he dragged the whole primetime schedule down that MSNBC managed to beat CNN in the ratings that week. And if anyone pays close attention to cable ratings, MSNBC usually does that like two or three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this was night after night. And the week that Glenn Beck showed up on the CNN primetime schedule happens to be the week that CNN, you know, came in third.
But it was a week in which nothing was happening news-wise, right?
Not exactly. It was the holiday week, but that's when the whole Scooter Libby commutation story broke. And in fact, Keith Olbermann beat Glenn Beck by something like 500,000 viewers that night.
Well, now, but there are many people out there who generally sort of abide by this idea that Fox is the right-wing network and CNN is for lefties and liberals.
That's the old Republican talking point. But it brings up a good point that, what's the reason that CNN is protecting Glenn Beck? And I think it's tied into that because I think they want a heat shield against this liberal bias charge.
So in other words, anytime anyone says, "Oh, it's so left wing over,"
right? Well, hey, what about Glenn Beck?
What about Glenn Beck? Yeah,
you know, their arms sort of shoot up. Hey, look at Glenn Beck! Look at Glenn Beck! And I think they like to have that. Paula Zahn, you know, that show is going to be on ATIS. They're not going to have a full-time host until Campbell Brown comes over from NBC, I think, in November. And we just found out last week one of the filling guests this summer is going to be Laura Ingraham on CNN. So it's this feeding, it's this farm system, but only conservatives can apply.
Yeah, and I wish they'd have Randy Rhodes on for Paula Zahn or
me. That'd be great. Have Ed Schultz on for a week.
Yeah,
I mean, have any of these people.
Yeah, Stephanie Miller, Christine Kraft, any of those people.
And maybe they will, but it's very interesting that the first name that came out from CNN was Laura Ingraham.
Something else in Media Matters today, which I thought was very interesting as well. And this was an on-screen text preceding a report on comments by Barack Obama. The sort of difference is the same graphic we'll have and then different language. On Lou Dobbs' show, it says, "Obtuse Obama. What does he mean?"
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of unfortunate. I mean, that's what Lou Dobbs does. It's obviously not as far to the right as Glenn Beck, but, his sort of shtick is that, he does very aggressive, opinionated talk. Sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't.
And in this instance, it didn't.
Yeah, and to sort of slander a presidential candidate like that very casually, that's certainly something you would see on Fox News, and it's just disheartening when you see it, on CNN.
And here's another example. On Chris Wallace's interview show, he interviewed O'Hanlon and Pollack and described them as two critics of the way the Bush administration have conducted the war. Weren't they for the war?
This drove everyone on the left crazy last week. Pollack and Hanlon wrote this op-ed in the New York Times, hey, oh, by the way, we might win in Iraq. And I think they've been on Fox News like four separate times. I mean, it was godsend for conservatives who immediately painted Pollack and O'Hanlon as these war critics. Problem is, then CNN started doing it too. Like, Ken Pollack wrote a book in 2002, basically a blueprint. Here's why we should invade Iraq. He was on TV about 800 times talking about why we should invade Iraq.
Even they look surprised sitting on the CNN set being described that way.
Well, no, I think they know what the game that's being played, and I think it's unfortunate that serious people like that go on Fox News and think they're going to have a serious discussion about foreign policy. But look, I mean, these are guys who got it wrong. There's a whole, truckload of these, liberal hawks who got it wrong. And now, instead of sort of being ostracized, they're brought back to the New York Times saying, oh, we got it wrong, but now we're going to get it right.
Hmm.
And so that's frustrating. But then for CNN to pick up this talking point that these are really war critics, and therefore you should take what they're saying more seriously. There were war critics after it became clear the invasion was a debacle. Before the war, they were all gung-ho.
Have you heard this funny little bit today from the pages of MySpace? The daughter of Rudolph Giuliani says she's voting for, guess who, Barack Obama.
I saw something about that. Look, Rudy Giuliani is there's this big Vanity Fair article about his wife.
Oh, yes.
Last week.
Cruella Di Giuliani.
It's only the beginning. His son refuses to campaign for him. Now, I did see a headline. I didn't see the details, but apparently his daughter has publicly, at least at MySpace, publicly stated she's going to vote for somebody else. It's going to be quite a sideshow if his nomination continues.
And if we say bring it on.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be lots of fun. Any other thing on your mind, Media Man?
Oh, well, we had this other post up today about Howard Feynman and Newsweek, and again, this is just a perpetual thing. It talks about, the headline is, once again, Feynman looks at Republicans' failures in Congress and sees trouble for Democrats. I mean,
can you hold that thought for a second?
Sure,
take
sure.
A little break. We'll be right back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station. Yeah. Oh, what time is it? Oh, okay. Well, you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent stations. Stay with us. Start with one step.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in. sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
From 6 to 9 p.m., as well as all the other great programming on Sacramento's only progressive talk station, 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Our phone number is 766-1240. Or if you are in one of Peter B's cities, that would be Portland, Coos Bay, Oregon, Monterey, California, the Monterey Peninsula, as well as Eureka, California. The toll-free number is 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America is online with us. Still back again with you, Eric. Hi.
Hi.
Now, you were going to talk about Newsweek and something that you want
to... Yeah, Howard Feynman over the weekend was on Chris Matthews' weekend show and talking about... This is a pattern we see a lot where the a pundit sees problems... is discussing Republican failures and says it's going to be a problem for Democrats. You know, in this case, it was what's going on in Congress. But really, they were focusing, and a lot of the guests, Norah O'Donnell, Chris Matthews, return to this evergreen that they talk about, how Democrats won't be able to win the election unless they can show they're tough on national security and tough on terrorism. I mean, there has been at least half a dozen polls this year that have shown Democrats have not only equaled but surpassed Republican in terms of the Americans' perception on who would better secure and protect America.
Well, now, Chris Matthews is such an arch-liberal, though. Didn't
well,
he worked for Tip O'Neill once,
I know.
I think.
Don't you
That's
hate
it.
That caveat that comes with every mention?
That's right.
And, you know, this thing about Democrats having to prove that they can be strong on national security. Literally, the only people who believe that are about 300 people who work in the D.C. press corps,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately they have control of the airwaves and,
yes,
and the
do.
Newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So it just keeps getting perpetuated, and they just keep ignoring the polls that show Americans, a majority of Americans, have decided Republicans are not the best people to defend the country or deal with terrorism.
Do you think that that perception, as without its validity, nonetheless, the perception
yep.
is everything, that maybe that's what prompted Barack Obama to come out, bombs a-flying into Pakistan last week?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that had more to do with carving out a niche versus Hillary Clinton.
Right.
But certainly I think the candidates are always trying to make that point. Sometimes they might maybe go too far, and sometimes they get in trouble. But absolutely, I think all the candidates have sort of bending over backwards, trying to show that they can be, you know, tough and macho and things like that. But even aside from that, even without the candidates, again, I think it was the war in Iraq that drove Americans, you know, into the arms of Democrats when it comes to the issue of terrorism and national security.
But now that you've seen what the Democrats have, well, I should say what they've not done in terms of using their constitutional powers to end appropriations for this war period, whether it's with withdrawal timelines or not, to just say no, in other words, do you believe what the far left is saying? I'm not sure there is a far left anymore, but what progressives are saying, the Democrats haven't gone far enough, obviously. Or where do you think the center of the country is on this question, that the Democrats haven't gone far enough, or that they were sent to Washington to end the Iraq war, or do you think most Americans, where do you think the middle is on this?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, the Democratic Congress has certainly received low grades since coming into office.
Yes.
I think some of that is because they haven't been able to pass a lot thanks to Republicans. But certainly I think a good chunk of that is coming from, as you say, the hard
left, right,
who wants this war to be over. And so I think that's in the mix, and I think that's one of the reasons. I think, you know, there's this argument, there's been, you know, a lack of truth in advertising. That if Democrats got control of Congress, they would end the war. I mean, honestly, that's a little simplistic.
I don't think they ever actually said that.
But I still think there's that sentiment, for sure.
And the question is, can the Democrats count on the progressives or the mythical left, whatever, supporting them in any event, because that'll be the best choice given, you know, the choice between the Republican nominee and the Democratic nominee, even if they're upset with Democrats for not being spunky.
Right, if they'll stick with them. I mean, you know, I was just at Daily Kos in Chicago over the weekend, the blogging convention.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're very hostile to Hillary Clinton. So I'm very curious in terms of a year from now, if she is the nominee, what the vibe or what the reception would be. And if you say they'll just sort of decide, well, we need a Democrat to be in the White House, or if they'll just, or if they'll
sit it out,
stick to their harder position, saying, you know, this is not what we believe in, so we're not going to go to bat for her. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, she needs all that online help she can get, particularly if she is the nominee and goes up against, you know, Republican smears during the general campaign.
I hear at that convention event where the presidential candidates were there that no one brought up the issue directly to them. Well, for example, I mean, Congress stayed in late the other night to pass this extension of the Surveillance Act, et cetera.
Yeah.
Was that brought up? Was impeachment brought up?
I think that vote hadn't taken place yet. I know after it took place, there was a lot of head shaking among a lot of the attendees who were very disappointed and angry at Harry Reid and saying, you know, every time we think we're making progress, you know, with the Democratic Party, something like this happens. And it just sort of highlights how, you know, we're still on the fringe.
Eric?
Yeah.
I'm out of time now,
Fair enough.
I want you to know I want to thank you for all the writing you do on the media, and I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Taken Back a While, Too Old, Too Ugly, Not Deferential to Men. It's about my battle for equality in television news.
Excellent.
Thanks, Eric.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good. Eric Bullard from Media Matters for America. I'm Christine Kraft. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM. Our phone number from anywhere, 8...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
What caused the collapse of the I-35W bridge last week in Minneapolis? That is the word from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. News brought to you by Veramist Fluticasone Fluorinate Nasal Spray. Ask your doctor now or visit them at Veramist.com to learn more about Veramist Nasal Spray. Sacramento area weather. Well, we've got those clouds trying to break away, get some sunshine into us. A high today expected to reach around 80 and a low tonight of 58. We will warm up tomorrow to about 85 and then near 90 on Wednesday. Currently, it is 73. Your next news, traffic, and weather information coming up in less than 30 minutes. I'm Derek Murray on Sacramento's only progressive talk station. Talk City, 1240 AM, KSAC.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. And, of course, sitting in this week for the rest of this week for Peter B. Collins and all of his amazing stations. The toll-free number, if you're calling from out of Sacramento, is 877-766-1240. And on our live line from Plano, Texas, is Mr. Brad Friedman. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Christine. How are you?
Oh, did you catch up on your sleep yet?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. Out here in Diebold country. We did, though, take a visit to the Diebold
election systems headquarters the other night. That was fun.
And they knew you were there?
I don't know if they did or not. There was a lot of cameras around, but nobody seemed to bother us, so I guess they liked having us there.
Oh, good. Well, I'm not going to ask you what you discovered there. I'm going to save that for later. What I want to talk about is, you know what, Friday night we were up late. I know I sent you an email saying, I'm getting sleepy. I'm getting very sleepy. We were all waiting for California's Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, to announce her decisions about certification, decertification, recertification, et cetera, mm-hmm. of electronic voting machines in California.
Mm-hmm.
And why did she wait so late?
Well, what she says is that she was dealing with legal issues. Mm-hmm. She's anticipating, I think, several lawsuits, whether they're from counties or for the voting from the voting machine companies themselves is unclear, but she wanted to make sure that everything was sealed up and airtight and could withstand such a challenge, which she told me at least that she believes her moves indeed would withstand such a legal challenge at this point. So I think she wanted to take all the time that she could.
You bet.
To try to get this thing right, and that's what she's done here, as far
and
as I can tell.
She had to do it by the end of by midnight, in other words,
mm-hmm.
Because the election in February, the presidential primary, occurs precisely 6 months.
That's right. By law, she must, if she's going to make any changes to the voting system certification, it must be done 6 months in advance of any election, and that would have been as of last Friday at midnight.
Well, there she was, and it was very hard to get information about what exactly she had said. I know that you heard it over a cell phone from a distance.
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary and pretty dramatic late night announcement there. As the media had been, sitting around waiting for 6 or 8 hours so they could get out their misreporting as soon as possible thereafter.
And they did too, but we'll talk about that in a second.
I was able to, listen in to the announcement, and in fact, it was, I think, rather earth-shattering for a lot of these companies.
That's right. And basically what she said was she was decertifying everything and recertifying some with rather, if you read the report, and that's what I wish all these reporters would do, the Sacramento Bee started out saying, and bowing to fears that machines may be hackable, something like that. Honey, if she'd been bowing to something, she would have taken the bribe. Hello? She chose not to do that. She chose to speak out for the voters of California, indeed of this entire nation. I think her decision is one that stretches across the entire country.
Well, it does, because everyone, as you know, looks to California, and certainly her landmark study finding just how hackable and vulnerable all of these systems are, particularly
Who did the study? Tell us that.
Well, this was University of California and the top notch, the top notch computer scientists from around the country.
Right.
And, you know, what they found, of course, was that these machines are particularly vulnerable to election insiders, like elections officials, like voting machine company employees, the very same folks you see quoted now all over the country in newspapers decrying Bowen's report and putting up this nonsense that, her report wasn't realistic. It didn't take into account Election Day security procedures. Never mind Election Day security procedures. These same elections officials and company employees of the voting machine company employees, you know, they have this kind of access, and her report showed in 30 or 60 seconds a single person from any of those groups can easily flip an election in such a way that no one would ever know.
And it doesn't take a whole team of conspirators. It only takes one person.
It only takes one person, yeah. And as well, you know, the other nonsense you see coming out of the voting machine companies is, you know, these claims that these scientists at University of California had access to source code in order to pull off their hacks and so forth. If those journalists that we're complaining about here actually bothered to read her recertification reports, she says that, you know, they were able to hack these machines without having any access to that source code.
Yes, thus putting a lie to what some of these registrars are claiming. It simply isn't the case.
Oh, that's exactly right. And, you know, I expect the registrars and the voting machine companies to do whatever they have to do, say whatever they have to say in order to save their asses at this point. That said, I would expect, perhaps I shouldn't anymore, but I would expect journalists to be able to look into those statements.
Go to the Secretary of State's website and simply read the information. It's all detailed. I printed all of it out, PDF format. It's all there. It goes into each of these systems, the ones that are decertified and then recertified with conditions. Mm-hmm. The conditions are all there. Now, remember, and so those reporters ought to wake up and do some reporting. Do some research here, folks. Don't just, buy the company line here on this.
No, and there was one, I got to tell you. Of all the reports that I saw, and all of them, by the way, quote, election official after election official, voting machine company after voting machine company, occasionally you'll get a comment from an election integrity advocate. Almost never do you get a comment from, just the general public, the voters who would like to, to find out how they feel about this stuff. But of all the reporting, I have to give the most atrocious reporting award to John Wildermuth.
Oh, dear.
Of the San Francisco
Chronicle. And I know
Chronicle.
Why, too. Tell us why.
What he passed on as an excuse for reporting is absolutely stunning. As you know, one of the restrictions that Bowen put in place was to decertify the touchscreen so-called DRE voting machines of both Diebold and Sequoia and recertify them only so that only one such touchscreen voting machine could be used per polling place, in order to meet the minimal requirements of the Help America Vote Act, which requires that there be a disabled, accessible voting system in each polling place.
Right.
Now, never mind the fact that Bowen's report also found that these machines actually don't meet the disabled voting requirements of the federal law, but at least, it's something, and it's an attempt to make something available marginally by saying, okay, you can't use the DRE machines, but you can have one. You can use them only to have one in place for disabled voters who actually wish to use them if
right.
they do. That said, John Wildermuth comes back and reports that that this could be a problem for some counties because, and I'm quoting here, forcing every voter at a polling place to use a single machine could cause voter gridlock on election day.
Well, don't you know that there are precincts out there where every single person is disabled?
Apparently so, but I guess he just doesn't understand that, her point was not to make a single machine available for every voter in that precinct, but rather, give the rest of the voters paper ballots, and then those who wish to choose, who choose to vote on touchscreen machines, they can use the single DRE system if they wish. I can't believe that Wildermuth actually, and he didn't. I asked him for comment. I haven't heard back from him, but I can't believe that.
John, he's ordinarily a very good reporter. I think maybe they're just afraid of technology or something. They don't want to read the Secretary of State's actual report, the report from the computer scientist from UC. I don't know.
Well, again, this comes of speaking to, he was speaking to elections officials. He wasn't speaking to folks like me and you and so forth. He spoke with, for example, John Tudor, the Registrar of Voters for Napa County. And apparently, Tudor was feeding him this nonsense. And we know that Tudor actually showed up to the public hearing that Deborah Bowen held the other day and said, shame on you. That's a direct quote. Shame on you for, what did he say, for hurting voter confidence by carrying out this study. I mean, this guy is reprehensible.
Excuse me, this is Mr. Tudor from, did you say Napa? What did you say he's from?
Napa County.
Okay, so and he is saying shame on you, and he's the one who wants to shove down the throats of the voters in his county machines that are eminently hackable.
That's right. Yeah, he said Secretary Bowen, you should know better than to erode the public's confidence in California's fair and accurate elections process for crass political purposes.
Now you know one of the arguments is, oh come on now, Brad, all elections have been fixed in American history, blah blah blah. Why they can cheat if it's just a paper ballot too? So in other words, oh let's go ahead and bring in machines that can do it very efficiently.
Yeah, well that's right, so efficiently that it takes a single person to hack an entire county and thus an entire state, and frankly thus an entire federal election, a national election in one fell swoop. A single person could do that. As found in, frankly, in this study and many other studies that have now been done. So the fact that, he would get a comment from a guy like John Tudor, and by the way, there are email addresses for both John Tudor and John Wildermuth, if you'd like to put in your thoughts on this, over at bradblog.com in a story that I did covering.
Bradblog.com, great place.
That's
all the
right.
Links. Go ahead.
Covering this very issue. I think it's reprehensible that they would report something like that from Tudor, and you know, not ask any questions. It seems so obvious. I mean, he actually says, he says, while Napa could run an election with one voting machine per polling place, it wouldn't be easy, Tudor said. And if the county is required to recount every vote cast on those touchscreen machines by hand, it could take weeks.
Now, I'm going to quickly get into this. We may have to take the break in the middle of it and then pick it up on the other side.
Yeah.
I hope you can stay with us. But all of these registrars are, not all of them, because there are some good ones like Freddie Ogliagnolo and a few others, I'm sure,
yeah,
but who care about the votes being counted cast and counted accurately and correctly, et cetera,
mm-hmm,
who care about the voting franchise. But for those who don't, they say, but, oh, we've already spent millions of dollars on these machines. Even though they suck, we've spent millions, and we're going to be embarrassed. Aren't we?
Yeah. Well, Bowen spoke to that in her late-night press conference. She said when NASA finds a problem with their voting systems, I'm sorry, space shuttle,
yeah,
they don't run the mission anyway. They stop,
or
correct
at least
the problem.
Or they don't anymore. Yeah.
That's right. Even if it costs millions of dollars, they stop and correct it to make sure they get it right. And she is doing the same here as if it was a product recall. And that's exactly the right thing, in my opinion, for her to do.
Now, the fixes, they're all decertified, and some completely decertified, or one completely decertified because they didn't provide to her the information that she had required from them to do this top-to-bottom test.
Right.
But for the ones that can be recertified, I don't think all these companies are going to be able to meet the recertification standard, do you?
I'll tell you, it's anybody's guess right now. It's pretty strict, and again, I applaud you for reading it.
Yeah.
If you read the restrictions that she's put in place, it's going to be damn difficult for any of these companies registrars, I think, to really put in place the security measures that are appropriate and called for here.
Now hold the thought.
In her study.
Hold the thought.
Yep.
Excellent. Because when we come back, I want to ask you about these voting machine companies, because they promised, they said their machines were secure in the very highest technology. Hold the thought, Brad Friedman.
Okay.
Hey, folks, you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. When we come back, more with Brad Friedman on this very important decision by California's Secretary of State.
Tuesday on the Ed Schultz Show, Senator Obama still going after Hillary.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, uh-huh, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
There's more than one side to every issue.
Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Plus, I need something to soak up the booze and sleep medication.
What was the combination, the magical combination last night?
I don't want to mention the brand name.
More muscular than Prince Valium, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Did it involve a green butterfly?
No.
Oh, okay.
Perching on your shoulder gently.
And no beavers or Abraham Lincoln impersonators.
The Stephanie Miller Show, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on Talk City 1240.
Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, and all of the stations on Peter B. Collins' excellent network. And Brad Freeman, our friend who is in an undisclosed location in Plano, Texas, near the Diebold factory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's one of the things they're saying. Oh, we've spent all this money. And what else is going to happen if they can't meet the recertification standards? Then we're going to have to use paper ballots, and then they'll have to be scanned by optical scanners. Oh, no, and there aren't enough optical scanners out there. We can't get enough in time.
What a bunch of nonsense.
What a bunch of whining nonsense.
And they know it. And, you know, Bowen also pointed out, by the way, that as is right now, anywhere from two-thirds to three-fourths of California's voters already vote on paper ballots when you factor in either absentee voting or counties that already use paper ballots. So it's, again, another specious argument that these elections officials simply know to be untrue. They are doing, and you know, like you said, I'm glad you mentioned Freddie Oakley, because she's one of the very few good registrars in California who has spoken up in favor of Deborah Bowen.
Yes.
Meantime, you see some folks who I just find reprehensible: Stephen Weir in Contra Costa, Connie McCormick down in Los Angeles, Deborah Seiler down in San Diego. I mean, who are these people working for? Are they working for the voters, or are they working for the voting machine companies? And, of course, you know, in the case of Deborah Seiler down in San Diego, she quite literally was working for the voting machine companies as a Diebold sales rep. So can anyone be surprised when she is willing to come out, say anything and do anything to lie to the media and to her voters?
And you got a media who's so unwilling to do any good, simple work. I mean, it's all on the Secretary of State's website. Go talk to these scientists at the University of California. Ask them about this test. Get into the specifics.
Well, that's right. But, you know, Christine, I will mention right now, there has never been a more important moment for the citizens to stand up, to support Deborah Bowen, to make noise in the media right now, because, you know, if you leave it to the journalists, they're only going to cover, you know, the officials and the voting machine companies. It's
the shotgun school of journalism. Let's have, for every point of view, there's an equal opposing point of view. Let's get both of those, and then that's all we have to do. We don't have to actually do any work and actually read the report, the summaries, the goals, the specific facts on each one of these systems.
Well, you know what?
We don't have to do any of that.
You know, but frankly, they're not even doing that well, Christine. I mean, if they were coming out with this phony Fox News, fair and balanced, you know, show both sides equally reporting.
They're not even doing that.
They're not even doing that. We could celebrate that. So this really is going to be up to the people to start writing letters to the editor, to their local newspaper, and absolutely bury the editors there with their own thoughts, whatever they may be. Let the newspapers hear from you, because the journalists are just not doing the job. It's incredible.
Not paying attention. Well, you know how I feel about this. Deborah Bowen for governor, and then whatever else she wants to do. What a wonderful Californian, wonderful American. I want to ask you something. Wasn't the federal government supposed to assure that these voting machines met the standards of the Help America Vote Act, and these were going to be systems in response to the mess in 2000, that we were going to have this wonderful new system, and we weren't going to have to count chads anymore, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, they were supposed to, and they set up the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission to do exactly that, but the EAC has been dreadfully compromised. has been delinquent in, you know, any kind of real testing here. In fact, they've been allowing the so-called independent testing authorities to do the testing. But those ITAs are, in fact, paid for quite literally
by the
voting machine companies. You know, and they look only at what the voting machine companies allow them to look at. It's just incredible, and that's why, you know, we finally got these independent studies from Deborah Bowen that we have never had before at either the federal or the state level. So, you know.
Is this going to be a template? In other words, are other election accuracy advocates throughout the country looking at this excellent report in vivid detail from these University of California scientists? Are they going to be able to point to that as an example of why these machines are not to be just, trust me, trusted?
Yeah, there's no question that they will. And by the way, other states are already doing the same. It wasn't noticed quite as much, but down in Florida, they came out with a very similar report on Diebold voting system. This is the state of Florida, right? The Republican governor there, Republican Secretary of State, they looked at the Diebold voting systems and they found the same problems. And word is they're now looking at the ESNS voting systems. But they all come up against a story I ran on Friday. We had some news out of the continuing election contest down there in Sarasota, Florida from last November. They filed a federal election contest in the Jennings-Buchanan race where she lost by 369 votes and 18,000 votes were lost on ESNS voting systems. Well, that's been assigned to the GAO to investigate, and incredibly now, the GAO has found problems in the election that they would like to look further into, but the GAO, is forced to negotiate with ESNS, the voting machine company, about whether they can look at the company's machines and source code. I mean, this is a federal investigation by federal investigators of a federal contest, and they've got to negotiate with the voting machine companies for permission. It's unbelievable. The Alice in Wonderland world we're now in.
It is indeed. Quickly, a caller called and wanted to know how this will affect the Holt bill.
Well, you know, I don't know. Bowen's report also found that paper trails, and that's what the Holt bill generally calls for, is paper trails. Her report found that paper trails don't do the trick.
No, that's right. It's not that easy, folks. You can't just have a paper trail and all will be well.
Right. So hopefully that will have an effect on the Holt bill. It's already had an effect on Feinstein's version of it in the Senate. She's announced she's going to have hearings next month on election fraud.
Yeah.
And hopefully she'll wake up as well and stop calling for paper trails and start calling for paper ballots, one that is actually counted for every vote cast in America.
We should have one hell of a primary this year. I mean, next year.
Oh, it's going to be exciting, isn't it?
So let's back Deborah Bowen any way we can and say to the assembled press corps, those of you listening, whether it's in the Monterey Peninsula or in Oregon, they just send in their ballots anyway. So
paper ballots, mail only in Oregon. But the report also found problems with those scanners that they use up in Oregon. And so
it affects everybody. So hang in there and ask your local media to go to the following website, bradblog.com. In addition, www.sos.ca.gov, and read about this stuff. Give yourself some learning. Brad Freeman, fabulous. Will we talk to you again on Friday this week?
I will look forward to it, Christine.
You can hear about your trip to the Diebold factory.
Indeed.
Thank you, Brad. Stay safe, baby. Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes, sirree. So all those reporters, whether it's the Sacramento Bee or the Chronicle, wherever you are, take some time, kick back, get a little learning in you, and actually read the report before you write your stories. Bowen bows to fears. My butt, you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City. When we come back, we'll take some calls from all of you. The toll-free number, 877-766-1240.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale, reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays, 4 to 5, with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
Tired? tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. 6 Utah coal miners caught by a cave-in.
All that is humanly possible is being done to gain access to these trapped miners.
Airline flight delays, the worst on record. I'm Dan Ravine.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The fate of the miners is unknown after a collapse early this morning that was so violent it felt like an earthquake. The crew was 1,500 feet underground and about 4 miles from the entrance of the Crandall Canyon mine. Robert Murray, chairman of the company that owns the mine, says rescuers are trying 4 different ways to get at them.
We've broken seals here in an old set of main entries. And we're going to try to go in there on apparatus in these old entries that parallel where these men are.
There's been no contact with the miners, but if they're alive, Murray says they could have enough air and water to last several days. A seismograph at the University of Utah recorded a 3.9 magnitude jolt, which scientists say was caused by the collapse. Don Blakeman of the U.S. Geological Survey agrees.
A mine roof collapse like that will generate seismic waves that can be recorded.
While hundreds of people participate in the rescue effort, the community begins a vigil. Hillary Gordon is the mayor of Huntington, Utah.
Of course, everyone in Huntington is very, very concerned, and families of the people that are missing are grouping together and waiting for news, as are we all.
Now this.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know the hot temperatures of summer can be tougher on your car's battery than the cold? That's true. That's why now's a great time to put a NAPA battery under your hood. Like everything that carries the NAPA name, NAPA batteries are manufactured to the highest industry standards, with sizes to fit cars, trucks, motorcycles, ATVs, boats, tractors, and more. Replace your old battery today with a tough, dependable NAPA battery. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR and select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
If you've traveled by air recently, this will come as no surprise.
This is the worst year for on-time performance in the 13 years that federal authorities have kept records of delays. On the 20 largest airlines, almost 25% of flights have arrived late. In June, it was over 30%. Analyst Terry Tripler says if you've got to be somewhere on time,
maybe you better plan to go a day early.
This summer, delays blamed on weather have been up 7% from a year ago. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Yesterday, a Delta flight from Lexington, Kentucky to Atlanta was canceled because there weren't enough crew members. A 26-year-old flight attendant was taken off the plane because she allegedly showed up drunk. In Minneapolis, cranes and heavy equipment arrived on the banks of the Mississippi today, and expert divers from the Navy and FBI joined the search for victims of last week's bridge collapse.
Our goal here is to recover victims. And so strategically removing debris is what will happen over the next several days as we get into the operation.
Sheriff Rich Stanek asked President Bush for help when he visited Saturday. The price of oil tanked today. On the New York Mercantile Exchange, a barrel of light sweet crude lost more than $3 to close just over 72.
Good news for consumers here is that we have broken some very important levels, and it does now look like we have seen potentially the highs for this year.
Energy analyst Peter Butel. On Wall Street, CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus watched as the Dow jumped 286 points, more than 2%, to close at 13,468.
The Dow enjoyed its
biggest gain of the year. And we're just going to have to see if that momentum holds, given the fact that we have a Federal Reserve meeting on Tuesday. Investors are going to be listening very closely to what the Fed has to say about the mortgage market mess.
That mess has made credit tighter, putting pressure on the Fed to cut interest rates. How much of an impression does advertising make on kids? Listen to this from CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Can I get a Happy Meal with me?
It appears McDonald's ads really do make kids want to eat McDonald's food.
I'm adorable! Yeah!
In a taste test, preschoolers liked fast food in McDonald's packaging better than the same food served in unmarked wrappers. The preference difference for McNuggets, more than 3-1. For fries, nearly 6-1. This study in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Pump 4 is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City. Also, as I fill in the rest of this week for Peter B. Collins, Peter will be back next Monday, and you're hearing this program as well. You're not going crazy. You're hearing it in Portland, Coos Bay, Oregon, the Monterey Peninsula, and Eureka, California, and environs. And so welcome to all of you. Our phone number is toll-free, 877-766-1240. I said we'd come back and we would talk to callers. I was lying. So I do that from time to time. We're going to talk to another guest, and then we'll have a much more open program the rest of it. Let's talk to Jim Walsh. He's on our live line. He's a research associate with the Security Studies Program at none other than MIT. Hi there, Jim. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you, Christine.
Well, you know, you're making this point, which I think is excellent. All the Republicans' candidates say, well, yes, we have to have those nukes on the table. It is this mythical table with nukes on it. And now the Democrats are starting to sound like that as well. Barack Obama famously commented last week that he didn't want to have nuclear weapons on the table, said aforementioned table, but then went on to say, you know, if we have intelligence, blah, 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 we should invade a sovereign country and go get them. That's really not the issue. But the nuke question, it rolls off all of their tongues all too easily, I think, without any sort of inquiry into what the repercussions would be to use nuclear weaponry.
Oh, I think that's right. And it's not only the repercussions of what it means to actually consider using unilaterally, preemptively, a nuclear weapon against a country or a country that doesn't have nuclear weapons, like Afghanistan and Pakistan, Pakistan has nuclear weapons, but against Afghanistan and Iran, which have no nuclear weapons. But
Dick Cheney says they almost do. Any day now.
Well, that's going to take some time. That's going to take years. But in any case, you made reference to this table. Well, it's a table. President Bush talked a lot about it, that he wouldn't take military action off the table in dealing with Iraq, and now he says it about Iran. And it's become quite popular, and this table has magical qualities. Once a policy option gets on the table, it's immortal.
That's right.
It lives forever.
No.
And, of course, for the Democrats, for the Republicans, the issue is they just want to look tough, and they're all trying to out-tough each other. And
unless you're Nancy Pelosi, and then it's a different table, and impeachment is not on it.
Yeah. And unfortunately for the Democrats, they're, you know, at least in this particular case with Hillary's criticism of Obama, she was saying, you know, well, we can't make blanket statements about the non-use of nuclear weapons.
He's so inexperienced, you know. He's
well, and that's
me.
Exactly the right. That's exactly it was used for domestic politics. It was used to make a political point to symbolically to suggest that Obama
I'm
is
tough,
naive.
I'm tough, baby. I'm nuclear. I'm Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, but unfortunately, my own view is, as someone who spends most of his professional life on this issue, is that it's really naive to think that you can make statements about nuclear weapons like that and that that doesn't have international consequences. If you say, we're going to keep nuclear weapons on the table and thinking about attacking non-nuclear countries, then the countries that hear that are going to see that as a not-so-veiled threat. They're going to see us as being a nuclear rogue or
a
hypocritical.
Nuclear bully, yes. And why shouldn't they develop those weaponry?
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, they'd be fools not to at that point.
Well, it encourages those who are already pro-nuclear in a country like that to say, hey, we should think about it. And it also makes it politically difficult to get other countries to agree with us, to work with us when we're trying to improve the nuclear nonproliferation regime. So I think, you know, it's silly. No one ever asks, you know, the follow-up question, well, what do you mean by that? Is poison gas on the table? Is a biological weapon on the table? Can we take family members of alleged terrorists and shoot them until the terrorist gives themselves up? Clearly, some things are on the table and off the table, and they keep saying this even though we live in a very different world than we lived in during the Cold War.
And you'll hear this redneck sentiment, and maybe I'm being kind here, but a redneck sentiment, I'll call it, this rather widespread. The reason we're not winning over there, that's the quagmire and this, and people are opposed to it, is because we're not giving our military the tools they really need. Wink, 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 nuke them all.
Well, I think there is a strain in that. I think that is a minority strain. I think more people probably realize now, this many years into the war in Iraq, they're coming out and saying, well, military assets and military force are not going to solve every problem. And in fact, sometimes when you misuse them or make mistakes in their use, you get more problems rather than fewer problems. But there are always people who are quick to the trigger in thinking that nuclear weapons are going to solve their problems. And what they don't realize is, first of all, there is a whole set of legal issues. The U.S. is a member of the International Court of Justice, and that court ruled back in 1996 that nuclear weapons, you couldn't threaten nuclear weapons against non-nuclear countries, and you couldn't threaten their use or even use them for anything except deterrence and a possibly if you were attacked, you might be able to retaliate with them. But certainly you can't go around the world threatening to use them against other countries. And then there are the big moral issues. There's no way you can use a nuclear weapon without killing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of innocent men, women, and children. You just can't do it. And so it's such an indiscriminate weapon. And we talk about terrorism.
But it's a culture of life. Didn't you know that?
Well, you know, I think people have ambivalent views about nuclear weapons. On the one hand, they rightly fear them and are concerned about anything nuclear and want to see the U.S. reduce its nuclear stockpile. But also, I think people are fearful. They fear enemies, and sometimes that makes people hug their weapons a little closer. So I think a lot of people have mixed feelings about it.
And there's also an idea that maybe it's part of that same minority, but nonetheless prevalent out there, redneck sentiment, that we just need to give our troops what they need. In other words, nuke the whole place. There's this sort of misunderstanding that somehow if you used a lot of nuclear weapons, you could just vaporize your enemy and there would be no further problems. And it doesn't quite work that way.
Well, and when the piece I argued that there were legal constraints here that just made this all this talk sort of nonsensical, particularly the day before the Hiroshima anniversary, and there are moral issues. But, you know, a lot of people unfortunately say in a post 9/11 era, they say international law and politics and morality have no place. We have to get them before they get us. It's a hard world and we're going to do what we need to do. Unfortunately, even by that standard, that very low standard of does it work or does it make you, does it work as a public policy? Does it make you safer or more vulnerable? I think it's very hard to argue that we could attack unilaterally use nuclear weapons against a Muslim country and not suffer significant dangers as a direct result of that huge error. We would become, helping Al-Qaeda. Oh, my God. It would be every Muslim extremist's life goal to set off a nuclear weapon in a U.S. city. It would be it would horrifically backfire. So, you know, I think there are good moral and ethical reasons to reject it, but even if you were the darkest of Darth Vaders, you'd still have to say that using it would be completely foolish and detrimental to our own interests.
Now, what about Tom Tancredo and the Republicans? He didn't really say nuke, but he said we need to make them, i.e. the Islamofascists out there, aware that if they attack this country, we will destroy their holy places like Mecca.
Yeah. Well, I was happy to see most of the candidates, even though the Republican candidates, most of them endorsed the preemptive use of nuclear weapons to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. That's got to be a twisted line of logic.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them did not endorse this, as the State Department called it, reprehensible
yes.
comment. I mean, first of all, again, it's to put a nuclear slant on it, it really mixes. People are mixing all sorts of concepts together that don't belong together. And one here is deterrence. What is the character of an Islamic extremist who's dedicated to martyr? It's that they're going to attempt to kill you, and they don't care if they get killed. That is, by definition, someone who is not going to be deterrable.
Right.
It's governments and states that are deterrable.
Yes.
Deterrable. Typically, non-state actors are not, and certainly non-state actors who are doing this on a religious mission because they believe that they're going to go to heaven, they are not deterrable in the normal way that the Soviet Union was deterrable. So to somehow mix all this together is crazy talk. And to threaten, again, talk has consequences. And when a person who's running for commander-in-chief threatens to bomb Muslim holy sites, that can only harden feelings against the United States.
Without even having to do it, just saying it.
Yeah, all it does is it feeds into the worst stereotypes that Muslim and Arab people have about U.S. policy and gives them more reason for concern. And my guess is that this policy would not be unilateral, I mean, not be multilaterally applied. For example, I think if we had a Catholic anti-abortion person bomb an abortion clinic, we would not threaten the Vatican. I mean, we would not, you know, that logic of it makes no sense as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the media's been doing a great job on reporting on all of these distinctions, though, haven't they? I mean, about the table, what's on the table and what isn't, or do they just give the candidates a pass?
Yeah, it's really too bad, and I don't know if it's a function of the debate format or just I don't know what the explanation is, but so the candidate can know nothing about nuclear security policy, and as long as they say, well, all options are on the table, everyone nods their head, and they move on to the next question. There's never any follow-up will say, you know, what does that mean? How many nuclear weapons would you be willing to use against, you know, a country that had no nuclear weapons? How many casualties would you be expected to take? Do you think this has any consequences for non-proliferation? None of those questions ever get asked. Because I think in some ways it's become the phrase in foreign policy, if it was WMD, you know, 3 years ago, the phrase this year is on the table, options on the table. And as long as you say that magical phrase, it sounds so fantastic, even though it doesn't have much content. It makes all things good again. You can get away with anything.
Are they all as smart as you at MIT? Don't answer that.
There are a lot of them are a lot smarter.
I grew up right next to Caltech when I was a kid. Thank you very, very much, Jim, and I hope you'll talk with us again sometime really
Certainly.
Soon.
Thanks very much, Christine.
You're most welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about a number of things, including the latest Gallup poll and the results, happy results for Hillary Clinton and other such things. And you can call in as well, 877-766-1240. That's the phone number, 877-766-1240. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. And, of course, all of Peter B. Collins' excellent stations. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Bev Smith.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488 for carry out to die for.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
After former President Clinton on trade policies like NAFTA. Terry McAuliffe, who chairs the Hillary Clinton campaign, will join us to talk about that. A new report shows that flight delays are the worst level in 13 years. It's not just Northwest. We'll take your calls and have the latest news Tuesday on The Ed Schultz Show.
You do. Welcome back. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Let's take some calls, baby, okay? Toll free 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. You're listening to 1240 AM Sacramento's only progressive talk station. I'm Christine Kraft, and for myself and for Peter B. Collins for the rest of this week. Let's go to Steve in Sacramento on line two. Hey, Steve, you're on Talk City. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Well, good show, and we need more of them. I wanted to make a couple of comments the problem I think that progressives are having is that they're
coming.
Are we
having a problem?
Yeah, we do. I really do. I really think we do because we're being influenced by conservative think tanks like Cato. The Cato Institute and Heritage Foundation.
How are we being influenced?
Well, economic policies are being influenced by them.
Yeah, sure.
Foreign policies. The whole concept of economic corporate global markets are emanating from these type of think tanks, and progressives are not engaging on that level. So I think that's one. You know, I read a book recently by George Lakoff, and it was quite enlightening. And there's another great book I would recommend anybody to read. It's by David Serrato called Hostile Takeover.
Serrato, yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, the thing is that we're not engaged at that level.
Well, I'll give you an example of somebody who's engaged. Democratic presidential contender John Edwards today criticized the former president, Clinton, arguing that he allowed corporate insiders to shape the 1993 NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. He said that while sitting right next to Hillary Clinton, who was giving him what we call in Hawaii the stink eye, Edwards' complaints about the former president, beloved by voters in his own party, well, not me, was a defiant move meant to highlight Hillary Clinton's relationship with special interests. It's a very, very good point. She was just at that convention saying, well, special interests are Americans, too, basically. Clinton refused Edwards' challenge to stop taking campaign donations from lobbyists, saying that many represent good causes, including her good friend Rupert Murdoch. Edwards said it's time that the president stood up and fought for, guess what, American workers. This was at an Iowa Union Hall in Cedar Rapids. It's time to have a president who always puts the interests of the American people first. He didn't mention Clinton directly, but he certainly made the point.
Right. I agree with you. The only thing is that I think that I don't think that he can win the presidency.
Why not? Because the party's already decided who's going to win?
Yeah, absolutely. They
and you know who
much,
that is, don't you?
Right, Hillary. And, you know, I think she can win. But here's what I would suggest. I would hope that they would, she would pick him up on her,
it's not gonna happen.
Oh boy. See, that's the thing.
It's not gonna happen. In fact, the party elites have decided that Hillary Clinton is the candidate, the person that they will do everything to make sure that she is the nominee, including undercutting any of these other folks. In fact, here is a story today, the latest, Gallup poll gives Hillary Clinton a 22-point lead over Barack Obama. Significantly widening her lead over Barack Obama. This is a national poll. This is USA Today. Her support among Democrats and independent voters who lean Democratic stands at 48%. That's up 8 percentage points from 3 weeks ago. Obama's support is 26%, down 2. John Edwards fading fast at 12%. Edwards still leads, however, in Iowa. So don't be surprised. He is doing very well in Iowa, and they hate the fact that he's doing well in Iowa. Let's see, Republican side in that poll, let's see, Giuliani at 33%, Fred Thompson, who has yet to announce and may not, at 21%, McCain at 16%, Mitt Romney fading at 8%.
Another Republican presidency would be a disaster for this country.
You know what I've said all along, who the candidate for the Republicans is, I think it's going to be Jeb Bush. And I think if it's a race between Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush wins. Call me crazy, but remember I said that, would you?
Yeah. I still say we really, really need to get some powerful think tanks engaged in this battle. Otherwise, it's not going to be.
How about getting the media engaged in the battle so that they ask questions like our last guest was talking about?
Right.
We have candidates who say, oh, it's on the table or it's off the table. How about reporters who ask them the specifics, well, what exactly do you mean? And
right.
We don't have any of those out there right now, and
right.
Or very few, and it's a great loss to this nation. There used
You're
to be a time
right.
when reporters asked gutsy questions, that the instinct for the jugular was part of what made them be reporters. That isn't the case anymore. Thank
That's
you very
right.
much for your call,
Thank
Steve.
You.
I share
Thank
your concern, obviously. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Our phone number, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. If you are listening on any of Peter B's fabulous stations in Monterey, Eureka, California, Eureka, I have found it, as well as Coos Bay, Oregon, and Portland. Hang with us. We'll be back.
Three little birds sat on my window.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Can a dog be trained to sniff out a tiny pest that's been destroying grapevines?
Search!
The story after this. I've done a lot of traveling in my time, and, you know, I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler like me speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised. In Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner.
Looking to get more laps from a gallon of gas? Make a pit stop for expert service at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, up to 5 quarts, tire rotation, and much more. Just $36.95 or less. Race in for savings to your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Taxes and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. Offer ends 9907.
California's Napa wine growers want to stop spraying to kill vine mealy bugs, pests that turn grapes into moldy mush. Dogs have been trained to smell bombs and drugs, so Bonnie Burgeon, president of the Assistance Dog Institute, hoped that she could train dogs to find these bugs.
We started out using these little capsules that have the synthetic pheromone of the vine mealy bug in them, and when they smell it, they're going to get fed.
Kent Dana, a University of California at Berkeley entomologist, has been advising Burgeon about designing her experiment scientifically. He sees problems with using a strong man-made scent for training dogs.
There's so much in the synthetic pheromone, we don't know how the dogs will react to one female or to, for example, an immature female that's not putting out the pheromone.
He says how you design a study makes all the difference when you want accurate results.
Well, what you want to do is set up a blind study. So put out 4 or 5 mealybugs on a vine, and then have a grape mealybug on a different vine, and then put the dogs out without the trainers there so that the trainers don't give them any signals. That would be the truest test.
Burgeon has not asked scientists to replicate her study yet.
It's always a good idea if it's double-checked. I mean, that there be another researcher who replicates your study, and in this case that hasn't happened as yet.
Burgeon knows that many questions still remain about the scientific validity of her work.
It's one of those cool science projects. It hasn't even been shown yet in the field to work well.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Lies with serious conditions. It's a go for Space Shuttle Endeavour as Wednesday's launch date draws near. NASA says everyone's invited. Everyone involved in the launch is continuing to focus on their duties and not the recent controversies that have plagued the organization. News is being brought to you by Veramist Fluticasone Fluorinate Nasal Spray. Ask your doctor now or visit them at Veramist.com to learn more about Veramist Nasal Sprays. And finally in the news this hour, a recent Pew Internet survey of 4,000 adults found that they are not obsessed about blogging, checking mails, emails, or downloading videos. While 85% of them use their phones or internet, only 8% consider themselves heavy users. 10% admit many of the functions available on their cell phones, like voicemail and texting, they use them, but not everyone's happy with advanced technology. 11% say they are annoyed with it. Look for cool temperatures and a low of 58 tonight and a high tomorrow of 89. I'm Derek Murray. on Sacramento's only progressive talk station, Talk City 1240 AM, KSAC.
Named the best female talk show host in Sacramento by the Sacramento News and Review, you're listening to The Christine Kraft Show.
Yeah, it is. Welcome back, everybody. I am Christine Kraft, and you are... I'm the best female talk show host in Sacramento. I think I'm the only one, too. So, hey, I'm the one and only, and we are the one and only progressive talk station. KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. Also happy to fill in for Peter through this week. He will, and I will miss all of you so much. But he'll be back here next Monday, or back there with you. I mean, in Monterey, in Eureka, in Coos Bay, and Portland. So he's coming back. Do not fear. Let's take a call from Santa Cruz. I do love Santa Cruz. Line one. Hey, Billy.
Christine.
Billy.
Sure, he's coming back, but he's going to have an Italian accent.
I know he is. Ciao, baby. Ciao, bella. He will.
Hey, you know, I don't know how it is in 1240 land, but coming from 540, we're not into the inevitability either of Hillary or, for that matter, the Democrats. You know, they've shown so little backbone. They want to get elected in the worst way, and by that I mean in
directly,
the worst way.
Yes,
just
the
let
worst
the
way.
Bad Republicans put them in.
Well, you see, I'm a big Edwards fan, so
you know, you have an example up there that I'd like to use.
Okay.
I used to do radio.
Deborah Bowen for president.
I used to do radio out of K-High in Auburn.
Oh, sure, I know that
little tiny station.
Yeah.
And so I know how conservative that area is.
That area is pretty conservative. In fact, I'm going to talk about something from that area
cool.
in just a moment.
Well, Doolittle, a guy I've just been disgusted by for as long as I can remember, he's clearly a crook, and he's going to go away. And the rest of the Republicans look so very bad that I would suggest an independent could win that seat this year. What do you
well,
think?
Well, we have a great Democrat actually running up there, though, Charlie Brown, who almost beat Doolittle last time in a congressional district, the 4th congressional district, which is about as red as they come.
Is he a great Democrat?
He's a great Democrat.
A Democrat?
No, he's a great Democrat. He is a Lieutenant Colonel Charles Brown, who spent 27 years in the United States Air Force, did a lot of work in Iraq. And all parts of the world, was honored in the Vietnam War, medaled pilot. And his son is a pilot on his third tour in Iraq. He is opposed to the Iraq War. He is the perfect Democrat for a very red district. He's a great guy and came within 3 points of trouncing Doolittle. Oh, my God, scared the bejesus out
Amazing.
Of Doolittle. So, and then, of course, he's going to run again. Also, now the Republicans are mounting a challenge to Doolittle because they understand that their candidate is very tainted now.
So I should not move. You won't be my campaign manager if I move up there as an independent under the Bloomberg ticket?
Well, I think there may be an independent. I'm not sure if Michael Bloomberg's going to be it. I'm not sure that Michael Bloomberg could capture all those folks who say they want an independent. Recent poll last week said about 53% of Americans would give serious credence to an independent party this
wow.
time around.
Wow.
So, but I support
amazing.
Charlie Brown. I mean, I'm sure you're a great guy, Billy, but my heart's already with Charlie.
So I'm not coming back to Granite Bay.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
I know.
All right. 877-766-1240, 877, toll-free, 766-1240. If you want to call in, you can. And speaking of that neck of the woods, I've been mentioning this a few times, and if you go to the website for this radio station, which is www.1240talkcity.com, 1240talkcity.com. You'll see moi, and you'll see the picture of moi, and you can click on moi and see my page on the 1240 Talk City website. And it includes some of pictures from our protest of Alberto Gonzalez. Hey, Alberto, habeas this baby. We had a great time. He came to my former law school, and Jason, my producer, and I went over there and raised a ruckus and lots of other people, and it was great fun. We do a lot of fun things at this radio station. We're uniquely situated because we're in the capital of California, okay? But there's been an issue going on. This is a little baby. I think I've talked about this before. And if you go to our website, you will see a prompt which mentions this, and if you want to donate to this fund. I think that everybody deserves a fair trial, even if they are in this country illegally. Oh, no kidding. And this is a very red part of the state of California, and a lot of them have nannies who are, guess what, illegal. This was the case. It's Hannah Rose Jusseum, little baby, beautiful child, who was apparently, according to physicians, shaken to death, shaken baby syndrome. Now, typically, when a baby is shaken to death, if you look at all the cases in the United States, typically, guess who does it? It's dad. I don't know what happened in this case, but I do know that within days of this baby's death, the baby was being cared for. The babysitter had lived there for about a year. Her name is Veronica Salcido. She was not here legally. She's illegal. She's a mom. She has several other kids. She'd been the nanny for this little baby. And the parents, the father is an enforcer for a law firm. He collects debts and is known as being kind of a tough player. Anyway, certainly a great tragedy. Within a couple of days, the father dragged the mother over to the Capitol, and they were saying, we're going to devote the rest of our lives, or at least the father. He does all the talking. The wife just kind of stands there and sobs. Anyway, the dad, we are going to do everything we can to make people aware of shaken baby syndrome. Well, people do know about shaken baby syndrome. There have been a number of cases. And what they know about it is that it's a very difficult thing to prove causality. In other words, who did it? It's not just one situation necessarily where a person takes a baby who's crying too much and shakes them until they die. Typically, it's something that occurs over a period of time. And experts will tell you this. You know, maybe the baby was shaken for months or 4 months or 3 months or 2 months or over a period of weeks multiple times. It can result from a fall followed by somebody shaking a bit. So it's not necessarily the simple act, I'm going to kill that baby. The babysitter decides, you know, I really like my job in this household, et cetera, et cetera. I like these children a lot, and I've been taking care of them for a year. I think I'll just shake that one to death. So it's not quite that simple. The problem is this is in a very red part of the state of California. The trial begins, I'm not sure whether it's the 20th or the 17th, could begin as early as the 17th or as late as the 20th of August. This woman is here illegally. They were going to give her bail, but of course they canceled that when they realized she was illegal. The mother and father say, we didn't know she was illegal, but we're devoting our life to putting up pink billboards all over California and I suppose into other states as well that say, don't shake your baby. Don't shake your baby. Well, she didn't shake her baby. Is this a Freudian slip? I don't know what. But within days, they were out there, you know, championing. And when this babysitter said, in Spanish, I didn't do it. So, hey, please don't try to pin it on me. I didn't do this. I love this baby. What do you mean? The father said, you better confess. You better confess. I'll forgive you if you confess. And the babysitter said, but I didn't do anything. Well, you better not put us through a trial. You better take that plea deal. I'll forgive you if you take the plea deal. He said, I'm not going to take a plea deal. I didn't do anything. So she got a great lawyer, Mary Beth Acton, who was representing her. But this is a very expensive case. You got to bring in experts who will testify to what shaken baby syndrome actually is and how it occurs. Now, the father has said all along, it's a slam dunk, the babysitter did it, and you're going to find out, she's making us go through this trial, and you're going to find out very quickly that she's a responsible party, and then she's going to burn in hell. She's going to be in jail forevermore. Now, I appreciate any parent being devastated at the loss of a child, but I also think, I don't know what happened, but I'm very, very disturbed by the way this whole case has evolved, and it goes to trial very soon. So if you go to our website, www.1240talkcity.com, click on Christine's page, and you'll read about how you can donate a dollar, a dime, a nickel, doesn't matter. We've raised already $1,200 just from listeners who think she ought to have a fair trial, that even somebody who is here illegally deserves a fair trial, maybe especially that person who doesn't have the clout and the power to fight back. I don't know if she did it or didn't do it. I don't know who did it, frankly, but I am not absolutely convinced that the babysitter did anything. In fact, my instinct is to say, babysitter didn't do this at all. This is a frame job, all right? Anyway, so I went to this website, don'tshakeyourbaby.com, to which the father has dedicated the rest of his life. And it says, the trial for Hannah is expected to begin August 17th in Auburn, California. We will be getting more and more information as to the further possibility of delay. The DA has done a very good job of preparing for what is considered a war, capital letters, war. Now, why would Daddy be saying that? If he's been saying all along that there's slam dunk proof that the babysitter slam dunked his child, why would he be saying that the trial will be a war? You mean there are issues to be decided at trial, Scott? Really? And they're asking all their friends to attend the court proceedings, which is perfectly fine. I think that this woman, Veronica Salcido, the babysitter, whom the father kept saying, if you don't confess, I'll forgive you if you only confess, but if you don't confess, you could just burn in hell. And she, at every step of the way, she has refused to buckle under to the intimidation. She said, I didn't do this. They've held her in jail the whole time since last May, still in prison, in jail, that is, the county jail up there. So no bail because she's here illegally. I never believed it when the father said, oh, we didn't know she was illegal. Who knew? She would work for them for a year. They didn't know? Of course they knew. And I've just had the strangest feeling as somebody, I've been a reporter most of my adult life, I just have some instinctual bad feelings about this. So if you go to our website, www.1240talkcity.com, and you feel it in your heart to donate to this defendant, so at the very least she can have a fair trial. I mean, it may come out at trial that there's some evidence that really does point to her, but I haven't seen anything yet except a very angry, hostile, nasty father who attacks anyone who dares suggest this woman deserves, Mr. Jusseum, a fair trial. She's not willing to take that plea bargain you keep trying to push her towards. She's not willing to say, oh, yes, I did it just to make you feel better. So my instincts tell me there's more than meets the eye here. And I think for all of us, I mean, some people would say, well, she's here illegally. What do we care that she has a fair trial or not? I disagree with that. And it's not just because I'm a lawyer, okay? I just think anyone, no matter where you're from, who you are, deserves a fair trial. And particularly in situations where you are someone who is hampered by lack of fluency in the language, lack of resources, et cetera, et cetera. I expect that, and I'm delighted that our listeners have donated $1,200 now, which will help pay to bring one of those expert witnesses to town who can talk about shaken baby syndrome and what it really means and how you figure out who's the responsible party. And I hope you will join me and all the listeners in Sacramento in supporting the fair trial rights of one Veronica Salcedo. And as I say, that trial begins midway through August, August 17th to 20th. I'm not sure when exactly. So, and if you've seen those big, oh, by the way, did I mention that the sheriff in this part of California is driving around with big bumper stickers, don'tshakeyourbaby.com, urging people to go to the site. And if they go to the site, it states that Veronica Salcedo is guilty. What's wrong with a law enforcement agency that's going to put something on a bumper sticker that points to a defendant being guilty before there's any due process? Doesn't seem right to me, does it? It seems like a con job from top to bottom. And I hope, my only hope is that she gets a fair trial. Did I mention the death threats I've been getting since I started saying this? I didn't? Oh, well, let me just tell you. They haven't been fun. And they very much match some of the transcripts of a particular individual and some of his other dealings with members of the public. So I'll just leave it there. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City. Our phone number from out of town is 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. We'll be back with more after this.
First step is hardest of all. Once you get your game.
Do you want a healthy night's sleep? Well, you've got it. Woolly Bees is a natural organic pillow filled with pearl-sized puffs of pure virgin wool. So it's cool in the...
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM. Talk City, when you're in town, turn to 1240 AM. Our studio number, 766-1240. Out of town for all of Peter B's listeners, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. Let's go to, is it Dennis on line one? No, two. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Christine. Big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Only usually catch you when you're substitute on KGO. I'm just great to hear you on this station.
Well, you know, I was supposed to be there, that other station, this Sunday, and this is so funny. I was going to do Brian Copeland's program, and I got into the car at 5 a.m., all ready to go, to drive from Sacramento to San Francisco. No battery.
Oh, gee. Well, listen, I'm not a Hillary fan.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a few reasons why.
Okay.
I heard the other day that her head political advisor, who's and her campaign specializes in breaking unions.
This is just not okay.
It's not okay. And then this thing, her comment about the lobbyists taking money from Rupert Murdoch.
They're people too. Lobbyists are people too.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that unbelievable?
Interests. They're people too.
And let me tell you something else that's really bothered me. I live in an area that's full of right-wingers, and I'm arguing with them all the time. And then most of the people will admit to you that they want Hillary because they think she could be beaten. And I believe it.
Well, I think she has immense vulnerabilities, and probably not for the right reasons. I think her stance on, in other words, for example, having this advisor who was anti-union, et cetera, that ought to be the issue. They will attack her because of her gender and her husband's predilections for womanizing, which are things that, you know, she really doesn't have much to do with. That's the problem. I mean, I'm delighted as a feminist and someone who fought for the rights of women in television news, certainly. I'm delighted to see a woman as a nominee. But I think they're giving her this on a silver platter, the Democratic Party is, and they're making it like they always do. I was so naive. In 1984, I campaigned for Colorado Senator Gary Hart and went all over the country and then anchored convention television for the party at the Moscone Center and was shocked to learn, imagine my naivete, that in fact the party decides well in advance, the party bigwigs, they decide who the candidate's going to be. Mondale had done a lot for them. Mondale was the heir apparent, and no way was Gary Hart going to upset him, even though the people wanted Gary Hart.
Yep.
And you knew what was going to happen. You knew that Ronald Reagan was going to eat Mondale for lunch, and he did.
And he
Where's
did.
The beef?
So, absolutely.
I don't know who the Republicans are going to nominate, but I think Hillary Clinton is immensely vulnerable. And in fact, not for all the right reasons. There are plenty of things I would go after her for. Just the things you raise.
And, yeah, and a lot of baggage on Hillary.
Yes, well, but this, you know, oh, special interests are people, too, that kind of nonsense. Or this attack that John Edwards levied today, talking about how NAFTA was negotiated by insiders with very little concern for the American worker.
Absolutely.
He said for too long, presidents from both parties have entered into trade agreements like NAFTA, Hillary, promising that they would create millions of new jobs and enrich communities. Instead, too many of these agreements have cost jobs and devastated towns and communities across this country. What we have right now, you can't buy anything that's made in America anymore.
Right.
All the jobs are gone. And unless this country wakes up, you might as well kiss it goodbye.
You're right. Let me say one thing about being naive. Who is she to talk about being naive? Now, this is a little off the subject.
I mean about Barack Obama and some of his...
Yeah, I mean, she used that comment. Now, here's a woman that married to Bill. He carried on a 7-year affair with Jennifer Flowers, and she didn't know it.
Oh, I think she's known all along.
Yeah,
I think the fact
naive.
Of the matter is that years ago, I mean, she's not going to say that publicly. I wouldn't get madder at that. I think the two of them have, I think they're soulmates on some political level. I don't think the frisson in their marriage has been there for the longest time. He's a womanizer. Once a womanizer, always a womanizer.
Yep.
That's the way it doesn't make him necessarily a bad person. But I think she understood that many, many years ago in their marriage. And you remember when he ran for President Clinton the first time, he said, if it's troubling, and they sat side by side. It was on 60 Minutes. I remember it all so well.
That's right.
If it's troubling for you that we have had our issues in our marriage, then don't vote for me.
Yeah.
And she sat there and shook her head yes. So I think they made that pact a long, long time ago. And they're entitled to. I think they have a connection that sort of supersedes, you know, who he messes around with sexually or she does, whatever. But I think she will be attacked because of that. And that's the unfair part. I would attack her on this, even special interests are people, too.
Having a campaign
advisor who wants to gut unions. I'm sorry, that's not okay.
And who said that possibly the lobbyist got her on this health care thing? He mentioned that one, too.
Oh, you mean in Sicko? When he
And that's why she pulled back when she was trying to pursue the
healthcare. She certainly came out of the gate early in the first Clinton presidency to go after it and got undercut very, very quickly. And I think they kept saying, look, she wants to have single-payer health care. God forbid we should have something like that.
Right,
and she got whacked around pretty hard. So and then found it, I guess, easier going and understandably easier going to do what the special interests are people, too, want you to do. But you know what? That's not good enough in this country anymore. And I don't have an iota of a sense that she will do anything to push for a single-payer system in this country.
And, I don't either.
But you know, I'm going to be up a certain creek. I'm a lifelong Democrat. Lifelong Democrat, Mike. I mean, Dennis. And,
yeah.
And I found myself a year and a half ago, after being a lifelong Democrat, going into the registrar here in Sacramento and changing my registration to decline to state, simply because I wanted to join that largest group of American registrants, new registrants, and also folks who are changing, who are now declined to stay because they don't want either party to take them for granted.
You're right. I did that.
Republicans and Democrats.
I did the same thing after he passed NAFTA because I voted for him the first time, and when he went there and not only passed NAFTA, he bought the votes.
He did.
That was it for me. I was through with him.
Here's what John Edwards said, and is sitting right next to Hillary Clinton. He didn't mention her because it's not her bill, but she said that the trade deal, NAFTA, did not serve the interest of regular workers. It included unprecedented rights for corporate investors, but no labor or environmental protections in the core text. And over the past 15 years, we have seen the growing inequality in the United States and Mexico and Canada. He used the appearance Edwards did to offer his own trade proposals. He says the economy is growing and productivity is an all-time high, but wages are not keeping pace with the increased cost of education, health care, and retirement. He blamed technological change and globalization, as well as outdated labor and workplace laws, for a system that is benefiting the wealthiest and shortchanging workers. Here, that's why I love him.
You bet. He's my first choice.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
4:57 already? Do we have time for another call? Let's go to Mike in Sacramento on line two. Got about a minute, Mike. Not much, but go for it.
Hi, Christine.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to comment real quickly. I hope that people follow my suit and go ahead and call their senators and tell them that with Democrats like this, we don't need Republicans. They basically have enabled a dictatorship in this country now. And I just called them and told them, why don't you go home? You're irrelevant.
You see what they're counting on. They're saying, well, you say that now. But after the primary in which we coronate Hillary Clinton, she becomes the only candidate who's even to the left in any sense of center, you'll vote for her anywhere. Don't worry your little foolish head about it because you won't have any other choice is what they're telling you.
I won't because I went down and did what you did, and I'm not voting like that anymore. I'm not going to be taken for granted like that anymore. If I end up voting for somebody that doesn't win, then so be it. At least I can do that with a clean conscience instead of having to vote for the lesser of two evils again.
Yeah, and many Americans are sick of that, and they should be. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. We're out of time. Just enough time to mention, check this out. Go to Slate, and if you don't go to Slate and you don't subscribe, you ought to, because Rudolph Giuliani's daughter is supporting Barack Obama. That's right, one vote that Rudolph Giuliani definitely can't count on in his 2008 presidential bid, his own daughter. his own son. She's designated her political views as liberal and proclaimed her membership in the Facebook group Barack Obama, 1 million strong for Barack. Take that, Dad. Take that. She's at Harvard. Did I mention that? She's no dummy. Her brother, Andrew, similarly, not going to support their father's candidacy. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Rescue teams in Huntington, Utah are trying four different approaches to reach the coal miners trapped by this morning's collapse. There's been no contact with them, but mine company boss Robert Murray is hopeful.
These men are here in an area that with plenty of air and water that could survive for days.
The collapse was so powerful it registered 3.9 magnitude on a seismograph at the University of Utah. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports the Crandall Canyon mine uses a practice known as retreat mining, recovering the columns of coal in abandoned shafts.
Former federal mine official David McAteer did a study showing that retreat mining causes an unusually high percentage of roof falls and fatalities. He predicts this collapse will lead to a review.
There's a good question here as to whether or not we ought to be conducting this kind of mining in this kind of location.
After the Sago mine disaster last year, Congress mandated safety reforms, but the deadline is until June of 2009. Eight people are still missing after the Minneapolis bridge collapse. CBS News correspondent Bianca Solarzano reports the search has intensified.
Today, cranes and heavy equipment arrived, and expert divers from the Navy and FBI joined the grueling underwater search.
They describe it as a fog. They can reach out about this far, not even a hand length, but about half that far.
The increasingly dangerous search and the investigation are getting high-tech help. Today, a helicopter with a high-resolution camera scanned the debris from just 30 feet above. The FBI brought in sophisticated survey equipment to make a 3D wreckage map, but the first priority remains the same.
Their mission will be to look for those loved ones that are still missing.
The kids who were trapped in that school bus on the bridge returned to camp today. To thank the counselor who organized their rescue, they wrote the word HERO on his shirt. A search helicopter has found the wreckage of an ambulance plane that crashed last night in Devil's Canyon, New Mexico. All five people aboard were killed, including the patient, a 15-month-old girl, and her mother. At Camp David, President Bush wrapped up a two-day meeting with Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai.
Still work to be done, don't get me wrong. The progress is being made, Mr. President, and we're proud of you.
Karzai describes the Taliban as a force that's defeated. Kobe Skellinger is the spokesman for Mallard Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, which hosts a unique sporting event tonight.
The Association of Independent Competitive Eaters told me that frog legs had never been done before on a sanctioned level, and so this will be the world's first frog leg eating championship.
The legs will be breaded, then grilled. The competition takes place after the Madison Mallards and the Green Bay Bullfrogs walk off the field. A big day on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials 286 points higher at the close, 13,468. The Nasdaq gained 36 points, and the price of oil fell nearly $3.50 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. And with the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back to school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot. Taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Another reason for women of childbearing age to lose weight. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the results of a medical study.
Too much fat can be hazardous to your health and your baby's. Kim Waller, a researcher at the University of Texas, Houston, says when women are obese before they become pregnant, they're more likely to produce infants with certain birth defects, including spina bifida and heart problems. This study in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine doesn't pinpoint a reason. Could be that obesity increases a woman's risk of diabetes, a known threat to developing babies.
If she's treated for diabetes before pregnancy, it will help prevent her from having an infant with a birth defect.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
People who fly a lot are also waiting a lot. The government says airline delays are at their highest level in at least 13 years. In June, nearly a third of domestic flights on major U.S. airlines got to their destinations later than planned. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Get the good stuff! Did you know the hot temperatures of summer can be tougher on your car's battery than the cold? That's true. That's why now's a great time to put a Napa battery under your hood. Like everything that carries the Napa name, Napa batteries are manufactured to the highest industry standards, with sizes to fit cars, trucks, motorcycles, ATVs, boats, tractors, and more. Replace your old battery today with a tough, dependable Napa battery. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Every one must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City. Somebody said, who does that opening music for you? That's from David Bornemeyer. That's right. Yes. So thank you very much, David Bornemeyer. And we are going to start off this particular hour by talking to Shane Catadol. He is a staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. He's been there since 2001, works on the center's major cases on the illegal NSA domestic spying program. So I would imagine, hi, Shane.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I would imagine you have a little take on the sort of rushed bit of legislative business that made the president smile over the weekend.
We do. In fact, we brought one of the first challenges to the warrantless wiretapping program back in January of last year, a case called Center for Constitutional Rights v. Bush.
Yes.
And it's actually up for oral argument in California, in San Francisco, actually, on Thursday.
Are you going to be orally arguing?
I will be, myself and Professor Michael Avery from the National Lawyers Guild. But you always expect a little bit of a curveball to come in right before oral argument, but nothing on this scale, for sure.
It's still wrong. So
it will be a little bit like that.
Yeah, and so how it's become more expansive, the ability of the government. They have new timelines with the FISA court in terms of warrants and all that.
Just to sort of step back and explain, FISA was passed in 1978 by the post-Watergate Congress in order to, limit basically the president's ability to kind of justify, really broad sort of wiretapping in the name of national security.
Yes.
The president had said basically that domestically or overseas he thought he could do pretty much any wiretapping without, going to a court first for a warrant. Without showing a court evidence that someone deserves to be, suspect, deserves to be listened to, that he could just do it on his own if he thought that it was justified by national security.
Just 'cause.
Right. And in 1972, the Supreme Court said, well, for fully domestic groups, you can't do that. But there's still the question of sort of, you know, communications where one person was overseas.
And basically said to them was, go back and craft a remedy to what we say is the loophole here or the problem here, and you know, come back with something that will pass our muster.
Right. And so FISA created this very easy sort of mechanism for the executive to use to get warrants for, you know, folks overseas who are, sort of thought to be agents of a foreign power, whether it's a foreign government or a foreign terrorist organization. And it's, you know, really a ridiculously easy statute for the government to use. I think there have been 5 FISA warrants rejected out of about 19,000 applications.
Yeah, and I have talked to Bruce Fine about this and say, and there is, it seems to me, I mean, I remember my law school education, it seems to me there's a little problem with the FISA court in and of itself. We won't even go there. This is just, well, they have 90 days now instead of 72 hours?
Well, basically what the new law says, and I mean, I'll phrase this in a different way. I'll say many other commentators have said that this is what the new law says since we're going to be litigating this in court.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have this interview cited against me, but there are plenty of commentators who say that this law basically does away with FISA as it relates to targets that are overseas. So as long as the administration says that the person they are intending to listen to is overseas, whether or not that person's a U.S. citizen, then any calls that they make can be listened to, including calls to people inside the U.S. So if you're a U.S. citizen lawyer, say, who works at the Center for Constitutional Rights, and you happen to be in Europe at a conference and you want to call back to the office, so according to them, they can listen to that call without ever going through even that real easy FISA process.
Right.
They never have to go to a judge.
And the Democrats folded. Because it was they wanted to go home so badly and get beat up at home? What's the deal?
That's the Republicans' theme, right? You know, gee, I hope that there are no terrorist attacks, before we manage to update this law, which is what a couple of Republican, hacks managed to sort of get out there to the media. But 57 Democrats did vote for this, and they really basically crumbled. There had been a compromise bill that Jay Rockefeller was negotiating with the Director of National Intelligence. It looked like they had reached agreement that the only thing they would exempt are calls between two people who are overseas that route through a United States switch. And the reason that this would sort of be, you know, considered necessary is that, you know, back in the day, most international calls went through satellites, and the U.S. could intercept them outside of the United States, you know, through a listening station in England, say.
And this avoided,
without any sort of problem with FISA. They could go ahead and do that. And then when fiber optics came along, you know, these things go through the ground instead, and it just so happens that most of the big switching stations are in the U.S. So most calls from the Middle East to Asia, for instance, they route through U.S. circuits.
Bingo.
That's something, you know, at least you could sort of arguably think requires updating. But, you know, this sort of thing that they did now is basically a massive FISA repeal.
And I'm thinking there's a case, correct me if I'm wrong, was it Electronic
Frontier Foundation?
Yes. Frontier Foundation.
Sure, they're suing the phone companies over their complicity, you know, and it's interesting that James Risen reported in the New York Times today that the phone companies may have been putting a lot of pressure on the government to push this bill through.
Because it exempts them from any litigation. Immunity. In other words, they offer to their customers, and we have secure phone calls. That isn't true anymore.
I mean, they've been jumping over themselves. If you read Risen's book, State of War, which came out at the beginning of last year, it talks in great detail about how the phone companies went to the government after 9/11 and said, look, this is, you know, what we are capable of doing in terms of sweeping in every single phone call out there. Do you want us to do it for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's easy to see why, right? I mean, they are companies whose, you know, profit and loss margins depend on government regulation. They're among the most heavily regulated companies out there, so
and
they have every incentive
loss,
to please.
Yeah, it depends on favorable regulation from
state. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So, and in the reporting on that in the San Francisco Chronicle were actually detailed accounts of secret rooms in San Francisco, and it's kind of nice looking little building inside a secret room where who are those people going into that room? No, you weren't allowed to ask. You had to have special clearance to go into the room, and basically they were data mining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would think just about everybody. I mean, Shane, would you say it is too conspiratorial or tin hat thinking to think that any phone call you make, any email that you send, all of these things may in fact indeed be being data mined by the government?
Right. It's not conspiratorial at all. I mean, it's part of a larger phenomenon where the government has realized that its human intelligence resources have been neglected for a long time and haven't been developed well in the Arab world in particular. And so what they want to do is be able to get machines to replace the role of the sort of snitch or the mole,
mm-hmm.
In terms of tipping them off where a conspiracy exists, where they would not have any other information otherwise. So what they want to do is figure out some algorithm. Say someone makes a call from Afghanistan into the U.S. and then calls 10 people within 20 minutes of that call, and the call comes in the middle of the night. Well, if they think that that's a formula to find suspicious calls, what they're going to want to do is scan every single call for that, you know, sort of pattern in the calling records.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine different sort of examples like that.
Right.
So, you know, that replaces, you know, the initial sort of tip from a human source on the ground.
Yes, any kind of reasonable suspicion or probable cause to get a warrant.
Yeah, I mean, they're the probable cause in some senses. They're saying, look, it's inherently suspicious to be doing this sort of thing, which is just ridiculous. I mean, if someone's getting married in Afghanistan and the news comes through to the U.S., that's the sort of call pattern you'd see. You know, but they have said in the past that that kind of thing is, you know, sort of evidence of someone being in a terrorist cell. And you know, it can go on outwards from there. I mean, it can be the presence of a word or two in an email. And they certainly have the technological capacity to read every single email right now.
Do you hear any of the presidential candidates denouncing this?
Not really. You know, I mean, to their credit, you know, at least Obama and Clinton, you know, voted against it. But, you know, it's interesting the list of people who voted for it.
Vote against it.
What's that?
They sort of set things up so they could vote against it. I mean, typically they'll be the last ones to vote because they've already done the count. Oh, yeah, now it's safe for you to vote no, even though...
Sure, I mean, that's, you know, that may be the case, but certainly, you know, these bills weren't that close. It's not like Clarence Thomas getting confirmed in sort of a fixed vote by three or four votes, right? Mm-hmm. Dianne Feinstein, for instance, had no reason to vote for this bill, but she did. You also have another Democrat out there in California, Jim Costa, from like the Bakersfield, Fresno kind of area, who's a Blue Dog Democrat, who voted for this bill as well.
And then some people would say, and I'm sure you've heard it many times, the kind of common sense approach here is like, well, what, you know, I have nothing to hide. I don't care if they listen to my phone calls or they, or, you know, people say if there's nothing to hide, we need to crack down on these Islamofascists, and this is the way to do it. Many people would say that. They're not really thinking about what they're saying, though, are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's two responses to that. One is that historically it has always been used to go after political opponents of the president, whether it was, you know, President Johnson or President Nixon. You know, the Church Committee in 1975 revealed, you know, enormous sort of abuse of warrantless surveillance powers in the name of national security to go after the anti-war movement and the civil rights movement by a Democrat president and a Republican. You know, and the second answer is that this just doesn't work well. It's not an efficient means of doing sort of law enforcement. I mean, the great thing about the warrant process...
And it wouldn't stop 9/11, of course, because...
Oh, of course not, yeah, although they make crazy claims about some of that stuff. But, you know, I mean, the great thing about the warrant process is that, you know, you have to bring evidence that gives at least a little bit of suspicion to a judge and have them check off on it. And what that does is it disciplines law enforcement to make sure they're doing a good job by focusing their efforts on threats that are real. And that's what people lose sight of. You know, they have this sort of mental picture that the courts are there to be a, you know, thorn in the side of law enforcement, to throw a monkey wrench into the gears and, you know, make everything slow down. And that's not the case. They're there for accountability and oversight.
Well, I'm a troublemaker, and I want to throw a wrench into I want to go after these companies because I have an AT&T cell phone, all these things. Is there something, is there a populist thing people can do?
Well, sure.
Example,
if you check out Electronic
calls,
Frontier Foundation's website, they've got all sorts of action alerts about this, EFF.org.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Congress is going to come back and have to deal with this because the statute they passed does expire in 6 months.
See, I always said when I was younger, when I was a kid, before I was a real full-grown troublemaker, I used to say, well, if somebody does something terrible, just send them an anvil, COD. You know, what's the equivalent of that in terms of what
sure,
consumers...
Sure, I mean, just calling your congresspeople and telling them that that this is a big deal to you, you know, that you noticed this and you want to know why the Democrats, you know, if your congresspeople are Democrats, capitulated so pathetically. And, you know, Dianne Feinstein, I urge everybody in California to give her office a ring and find out.
She wants
out,
to be governor, you know.
Thinking.
She wants to leave that Senate seat, give it to Jerry Brown, and run for governor. So
you know, that'd be progress. I would, you know, because most states don't actually do a whole ton of wiretapping.
I'm gonna call you off the line and tell you about a case that I think you would be interested in. We have a young man, Fijian Hindu, named Satender Singh, who was killed for being gay by Russian religious anti-gay immigrants, and I'm going to send you some information on that just for your perusal.
Okay,
under separate
great.
Cover. Thank you so much, Shane, for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. All right.
Take care.
Okay, folks, you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. When we come back, I'm looking into our green room, and green it is, and I see two. They're not so green. Yeah. Dr. Molly Fry, Dale Schaefer, their entire team is here, and they, have, of course, are going to talk to us about what's going on over in the federal courthouse just down the street a bit. Dr. Fry, how dare she prescribe marijuana for her sick patients? We'll be back with that after this.
To change the world, start with one.
Garrett Real Estate Inspections in Watsonville reminds parents, children are exposed to drugs as early as elementary school age. One of the most frightening drugs now affecting our youngsters is crystal meth. Learn as much as you can about this drug and others. Sit down and talk with your children. This message is from Garrett Real Estate Inspections in Watsonville. They're on the air doing their part in the fight against drug abuse. Give them a call at 722-1884. That's 722-1884.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
AC.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Christine Kraft, talk show host, lawyer, former television anchor, former plaintiff in the federal courts of this country. And I just say that because I want to introduce my guests. Once again, we have Dr. Molly Fry. Say
hello,
hi, Molly.
Hello, everybody.
And Dale Schaefer, her husband.
Hello, hello.
Molly is a physician. Dale is an attorney. And Molly, having survived a double whammy breast cancer and discovering that medicinal marijuana helped her survive it, prescribes
wanted to help others.
Wanted to help others. And in California, we have a thing called Proposition 215, in which the voters of this state said, you know, we think physicians in our state ought to be able to prescribe medicinal marijuana to their sick patients. That's what the people of California said. The federal government, and in a case most recently in the Supreme Court, basically said, oh no, the federal law trumps California law, because after all, marijuana is a fungible commodity. It can, should it want to, go across state lines.
It can walk by itself.
Commerce Clause. Nothing new about that. The Supreme Court of the United States has, in many, many cases over the years, extended Commerce Clause jurisdiction over a number of things. But it makes no sense when the federal government of my country, and by the way, I'm a 10th generation American. I care very much about these issues. My patrilineage comes from Jamestown, Virginia, and I'll hold up my patriotism any day. We currently have a Justice Department which is completely in disrepute thanks to the current administration. And I would suggest that anyone, what used to be a great job to work as a U.S. attorney, has lost a lot of its luster. And not because of every U.S. attorney, but because of this administration and the shenanigans at the very top of the Department of Justice. They ought to be ashamed at going after sick people. Yeah. We want the federal government and law enforcement, enforcers like the DEA, to go after the bad guys. Go after the methamphetamine people who are actually dangerous to you. I appreciate it may be much easier and not as risky in terms of your personal safety, in terms of the safety of your behinds, to go after a physician who is prescribing and perhaps providing instead of her patients having to go and purchase in the underground an illicit commodity, helping sick people. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. How un-American can you be? Yeah. And I realize that there's some prosecutor who's trying to make score big because they got people from Washington. Watch how this whole thing goes down. But you know what? You got a Supreme Court justice. The Supreme Court of the United States, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Judge Roberts, recently was found in his summer home, an island off of Maine. He was found ashen and foaming at the mouth. He has a form of epilepsy, which would, by the way, be helped by medicinal marijuana. You would keep medicinal marijuana from Justice Roberts if it would help him and help him not to be Mad Dog Roberts? I ask you.
Well, you know, the one thing that I want to clarify is there is no intent on your part or my part or Dale's or any other else's part to talk to the jury. The jury has been sequestered. They are
and
not allowed
presume
to listen.
Here, that's right.
And we presume they are obeying their restrictions.
And
they
should.
And they should.
That's right.
Right. We are talking to all the other people that are out there who can very well need and benefit from cannabis. And we're also trying to talk about the freedoms and the realities that I, as a doctor, have sworn an oath to God to uphold the health and safety of my patients and to make their well-being the primary.
Oh, come on, Molly. You went to medical school because you wanted to become a dope dealer. Just
that's
admit
right.
it.
That's right.
Yeah, you went to the University of California at Irvine.
You know, if I was going to be a dope dealer, I would have done it a long time before that. They gave me a triplicate pad when I graduated from medical school, and geez, back then they didn't even follow triplicates. I could have been the biggest dope dealer in the world with heavy pharmaceuticals.
And you were.
And
no,
I wasn't.
You don't want your sick patients to have to take pharmaceuticals which turn them into zombies. You want them to be able to get some relief from their pain and suffering. And by the way, when the federal government of my country, of which I, let me say again, a 10th generation American whose patrilineage comes from Jamestown, the foundations of the legal system in this nation, you want to say that folks are not allowed to use something that helps them. We have evidence when the federal government says right now, oh, there's no proven efficacy for medicinal marijuana. That's hogwash. Look to the University of California studies and other studies in this state. Do a little research on this, and you'll find out very quickly that there are umpteen studies now, some of them very strong, peer-reviewed science that say, yes, without any question. It's not just fuzzy something or rather. There's actual science which shows beyond a doubt. And the federal government ought to sit up and take notice and stop persecuting doctors and sick people.
It was unbelievable because no matter what they did, their own witness kept calling them patients. Their own witness was tripped by our attorneys into saying that he tried morphine and Soma and Flexeril, and they all made him sick. And the only time he had relief from his pain and his spasms, he has a broken back, by the way, is when he used medicinal marijuana. And the reality is medicinal marijuana gives a relief that is not just the pain goes away, because I don't think he was using it nearly the way he could have. I didn't get to work with him enough to teach him about using it as a topical rub and eating it. And all he was doing was smoking it. And I think he could have gotten a lot more benefit if we had worked more together.
But you're not out there to have people doing this for the fun of it. This is not about the recreational use of Doritos eating. This is about sick people.
Yeah, and really, he could have seriously benefited a lot more. But even with just smoking marijuana, he was able to
function.
Well, feel better. And now he's moved to a state where marijuana is
So wait a
legal.
Minute. He's in trial. He's essentially
he's their witness. And he's
so how is he testifying? Is he on a pharmaceutical? Oh, never mind. Hold
no,
the
he's
thought.
He's on nothing now.
He's on nothing, sure. Okay. You are listening
he's
to...
He's in pain.
He's in pain. He's in a lot of pain. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City, and all of Peter B's excellent stations in Eureka, Monterey, Coos Bay, Oregon, and Portland. We'll be back with more after this.
And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
She's a rebel. She's a saint. She's the salt of the earth. And she's dangerous. She's a rebel. Vigilante. Missing.
Yeah, you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, and I'd love to get some calls now, and I'll put the number out there, 877-766-1240 from folks both in Sacramento and on Peter B. Collins' network of stations. If you support Dr. Fry and Dale Schaefer in this trial that's going on up the street here.
Well, it was amazing to hear on the news that they just found 10,000 plants growing along the Yuba River. And, of course, no one is responsible for those.
Mm-mm.
And here we are, you know, had a few plants and a lot of patience and a lot of love. And we're sitting in federal court because we had the guts to stand up and say, this is a medicine and these people deserve to have it.
Come on, audience, give us some calls. Let us know if you support Dr. Molly Fry. And you're a JD, a doctor of jurisprudence. Yeah.
They couldn't get it straight in court either. They kept calling they kept saying Dr. Schaefer, and they get
Dr. Schaefer. See, I got that JD. That made me a doctor, but I never call myself a doctor.
Well, yeah, because so many people feel doctor means that you can make them well. And that's all I was ever trying to do was make my patients well. And for them to be persecuting us like this is just absurd.
Well, I think it's political prosecution, too. And I'm wondering, I hear that my name came up today, Dale.
Oh,
tell
sure
me about
did.
That. Was it not in front of the jury?
Before the jury came
Good.
In,
okay.
The prosecutor told the judge that Tony was on the show last week
mm-hmm.
and that
That's Tony Sarah, your lawyer.
That darn commentator was saying bad things about the government,
telling
people to lie to the judge.
Well, you know, if that prosecutor happens to be listening now, I'm not telling people to disobey the judge. You know, I'm a lawyer. I went to McGeorge, very conservative law school. When the judge tells you, I've also been a plaintiff in the federal courts of this country. I've been a plaintiff all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, where Justice O'Connor said she would have heard my case after I won two unanimous jury verdicts in a federal district court. So I've been through this stuff. I would never tell someone to not obey the judge. When the judge tells you not to listen to the radio or watch television or read anything,
don't do it.
He or she means it, nor should you.
Nope.
But I will say this, that I remember studying this. It was in one of my law school classes. It was something called jury nullification. And basically what it says is that a juror is not bound by some hand of God to only come to a certain conclusion. You have unique, personal, deliberative abilities and discretion. And if you think that this whole thing is a sham, you can say not guilty. Jury nullification, it's part of the agenda. It's part of the curriculum at the McGeorge School of Law.
Yeah,
so
well,
I remember learning that.
Yeah, well, and one of the things they're trying to do is say that they're going to add not the plants that we grew 1 year or in the second year or the third year, but they're going to add the plants we grew all through the whole years, add them together. And in addition to that, they're going to add all the plants that we killed, which we killed quite a number, not knowing how to grow it to begin with. And so,
well, when you say we, you mean me, not
well,
you.
Of course I mean you. But, you know, it's after you've been married 22 years, somehow you become united with your spouse. But I was so sick at that time.
Yes,
I had
Molly had
to
cancer. Molly was very, very ill. In fact, I remember reading something about your illness. And how devastating it was. And I remember there was a picture of you in the bottom of the shower just balled up, or a drawing of you. And just crying out in agony. And these people, these prosecutors down the street, go after the really bad guys. Are you aware, federal prosecutors, are you aware perhaps that in Afghanistan we have the most abundant crop in Afghani history thanks to the presence of the United States? Is that what you want? Is that the result you like? Oh, you use that as a commodity to affect foreign policy in some way. And that's okay. And you've got a physician in California who's helping sick people, and you want to go after her, and it's some really important job for the federal government to do this? You must be kidding. There, let's take some calls.
I salary somehow.
Yeah,
you
we
know,
can rent
and
forever.
I appreciate
someone else.
If you are the young federal prosecutor, you're trying to suck up to your bosses at the Department of Justice. It's not a noble department anymore. It's got big problems. Have you noticed? Our country deserves better than it, and it deserves better, I would argue, than the prosecutors who are going after this case right now. Let's go to Dave in Eureka on line one. Hi there, Dave. How are you?
Doctor, I very much agree that you should have the discretion to prescribe as you feel it appropriate.
And jurors should have the discretion to vote as they see fit.
Yes.
Both things are necessary to have a free society. You
they
can't
hate us
be
for
free.
Our freedoms, you know.
Yeah. You can't be free if I can't tell you what's the best medicine for you. And I can't be free if the jury can't look at me and say, wow, she suffered through all that and all she wanted to do was help sick people. And maybe my husband did grow a few too many plants or kill a few too many plants. But the reality is all we were trying to do was help sick people.
You still there, Dave? Dave's gone. Let's move on to Adam in Sacramento. Hi, Adam. You're on Talk City.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to lend my support saying that I fully believe in medicinal marijuana. You know, I do agree with you when you say that it is a medicine. I've had a friend and a cousin who fell addicted to it, but they're doing much better now.
You're
but
saying addicted? How so? What do you mean addicted?
Well, basically, they were quite addicted to it.
Hold on. When you use a word like addicted, Dr. Fry, from your what's your medical opinion?
It's physiologically not addicting, but it's psychologically addicting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. Those are not medical users. Those are people who probably have serious psychiatric issues in their childhood and are medicating heavily because they can't deal with life as it really is, and that becomes dysfunctional.
So it's psychological addictive, not physical.
I fully agree with you guys because it's like any other. Like, look at OxyContin. You know, the pharmaceuticals will prescribe anything to make money. Mm-hmm. And quite often we've shown that those drugs can be even more addicting.
Well, and right-wing talk show hosts will go out of their way and get multiple, do doctor shopping and
everything. Well, you
and that's
hear
okay.
What's really sad.
And so the thing is that seeing what the benefit of it is, definitely it should be able to be prescribed under a doctor's supervision.
Right. And what's really sad is they made me drug test and took my marijuana away. And one of the things that marijuana does that's very, very little people don't know is it shrinks cancerous tumors, and my cancer reappeared 6 months after they took it away from me. But in any case, I found another alternative medicine, and they say they're going to cure breast cancer by 2015. Well, I found the cure right here, and I could go into that, but I won't.
And it has nothing to do with pink ribbons.
Nothing to do with pink ribbons.
Or the Susan G. Komen race.
No. Or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I really wanted to say, you know, is that the sad thing is they have now addicted me to lorazepam, clonazepam, and OxyContin because I had issues with pain and anxiety over lots of things that happened, especially losing my breast. My mother died of breast cancer. My daughter has breast cancer on both sides of the family. My husband's sister is right now fighting for her life in breast cancer. And so I'm looking at my child, and I'm feeling very, very frightened for her. And, you know, this created a tremendous amount of anxiety that marijuana really alleviated in me. So now they're going to have to put me in a 30-day rehab if they find me guilty before they can even put me in jail because they've got me so totally addicted to other drugs when I could have just had marijuana.
And I want to mention something else. There was a study, and Dale will remember, in Los Angeles, I believe, a physician who sort of assumed in advance that the result would not be what it was. Dr. Taskin. So, are you listening, U.S. prosecutors? You might want to do a little research on this one. Dr. Taskin set out to show that marijuana smoke was smoke and not rubbed on or whatever, but was harmful to the lungs, and discovered what, Dale?
He discovered that it actually has a harm-reducing quality to it as compared to breathing the air in Los Angeles.
In other words, you're better
off. It's safer to smoke marijuana
than live in L.A. and breathe.
LA, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is that there's been 6,000 years of studies that show that marijuana is harmless, and it's even harmless to babies in utero. And
the Jamaican studies show that.
Yeah, and there are studies that show that if you deprive an animal of the marijuana when it's an infant, we're talking about rats, and rat mothers aren't very good mothers, all the baby rats die. So it's appetite stimulation, it's pain control, it's anti-inflammatory
nature. Those are the
natural
endocannabinoids.
These are endocannabinoids in your body, and you already make them. And it's just when you supplement with marijuana, you get a much higher effect, and it's way more useful for treating illness as opposed to just using your natural endocannabinoids in life.
And it's not a cure-all. We're going to say that right away.
Oh,
it's not going to end all of your nausea or all of your anxiety, but it certainly can help better than many of the... when the Justice Department does stuff like this, you begin to think that this particular government is such that they are in the pay of the pharmaceutical industries, that they don't care about real people.
Well, I mean, it sure seems like... Yeah, it sure seems like they don't care about real
people.
Those
are their lords and masters, not any dedication to
the
general welfare of this populace.
Yeah.
They lobby Congress to get drugs passed in a hurry. They turn out 5 or 10 years down the road to be dangerous and deadly.
Things
they
that
have
kill
to jerk
you.
Them back off the market.
Well,
and you go look at their studies, and they fudge the evidence to get them in front of people.
Well,
this
every
is the same government who's prosecuting you.
Yeah, yeah, and every anti-inflammatory from Motrin to Naprosyn to all of them have cardiac effects and also have effects on the liver and on the digestive tract. And yet they want you to use those drugs that you can buy in the drugstore over the counter.
Because you got to pay somebody
right,
for it.
You got to pay somebody for it rather
well,
than
it
the
is.
Anti-inflammatory effects of marijuana.
You can grow marijuana yourself.
And I just think it's so utterly anti-American. If we are supposed to have all these freedoms, if what you put in your body ought to be your own business, and unless you're... I certainly don't think someone should take marijuana for non-medicinal uses and go out and drive because it does slow your reaction times, et cetera. There are statutes in place to go after people who are driving intoxicated. That's not the issue. But the federal government, in the best tradition of this country, not in this warped consciousness we have now, ought to be going after the bad guys. Go after the methamphetamine dealers who are paranoid and blowing up neighborhoods. I know it's much greater risk for you. You might get shot, but you might be protecting the public. In this instance, you absolutely are not. Let's take another call. Russell on line 3. Hey, Russell, how are you?
Doc, I really feel for you. My brother's a doctor, and he's had to not necessarily prescribe medical cannabis, but he suggested it to patients that have had serious pelvic pain. And the fact that they're going after you is basically because you're a feather in somebody's cap. You go after the meth dealer, okay, fine. You get one meth dealer out of, what, 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
You go after
yeah.
a doctor, you can point to that.
Well,
yes.
And not only that, I'm afraid I had a big mouth, and because my mother died of cancer and I have cancer
Molly
in my family.
Molly with a big mouth? Wow.
Yeah, I do, and I'm married to a big mouth lawyer,
oh,
and
yes.
he ran for district attorney, and so this is really a very political thing.
That's when they
and,
got real interested
well,
in this,
yeah.
isn't it?
Tony told him. If you think it's politically motivated, that can bear upon your credibility for these government witnesses.
Well, yes, that's very interesting. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to Imhotep. Oh, no. Actually, let's not. Is he still there on line one? Let's start with him, and then we'll take a break and come back to him. Hi, Imhotep. I'm going to let you say a little bit. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back to you because I know it's going to be good.
Hi, Christine.
Hey.
And hello to your guest.
Oh.
Hi.
It's really not about... curing people and healing people. It's about money. Everything that you've stated on this program, the ones that are in charge, they already know this, but it's they would rather let people die than not let pharmaceutical companies and oil companies make money off of prescription drugs.
Well, for sure.
Everything that you've said, they already know this. Their own studies have proven this. They already know this.
They ought to be ashamed, Imhotep. Will you hold the thought while we take a break?
Sure.
Can you stay with us? Good, because he's always does great calls. All right,
we'll be
Imhotep.
Right back.
We'll be right back. Yes, we will. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM. Also, all of Peter B. Collins' radio stations. That would include Eureka, California, the Monterey Peninsula. Hi, everybody. And Coos Bay, Oregon, and Portland as well. We'll be back after these
Hot
messages.
Three little birds. Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
One little step. That's all it is. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. We're delighted to hear that we have a whole slew of new listeners at the federal courthouse every day. And I guess one of the prosecutors is a Miss Ann Ping, is her name?
Pings.
Miss Pings, I hope that you are never so sick. I hope you never have cancer. I hope you never, no one in your family, none of your children or your partner, domestic or otherwise, anyone ever has any sort of illness which would be greatly helped in terms of their pain and suffering by marijuana, because, of course, you being a person of high principle would certainly disregard all the peer-reviewed science and say, oh, no, no, you're not having that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, madam, and I hope you are listening. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Go after the people who are really harming this nation. You know, and it's so funny. We hear all the time, oh, they hate us for our freedoms in other parts of the world. And if you have no freedom to give yourself a medicine that helps you, you have no freedoms. What do they hate us for? Nothing. You know, our government is fostering one of the most abundant poppy crops in the world in Afghanistan.
Ironic.
Our government, in case you didn't know, Miss Ping, did a very good job of manipulating crack cocaine into South Central Los Angeles for political purposes. I don't see you going after them. And I know you have masters who tell you what to do, but you ought to be ashamed. You ought to, for just 1 minute, be a proud American and say, this is wrong, and walk the hell out of that courthouse. That's what you ought to do. And, of course, you won't. So there.
So do we still have Imhotep with us?
Yes, we do. I'm sorry. Imhotep is on line one, and he's fabulous. I am just frothing at the mouth here, much like Judge Roberts. Hey, Imhotep.
Hey, you know, the bottom line is money.
Yep.
There's a book. It's called The Great Hemp Book, and in that book, Henry Ford, it shows where Henry Ford had made a car out of hemp and had found a way to fuel it.
Oh, with hemp, too. We actually have a hemp car that comes through the Capitol every once in a while, too. And it's so great because the hemp oil can be used to cook with. You can eat hemp seed ground down like peanut butter. The plant is just a gift from God. And our government is really
doing everything it can. It's not marijuana, first of all. But you know, Whole Foods, I've seen a lot of those federal prosecutors grabbing a sandwich over at Whole Foods. Do you think they know that the Whole Foods sells hemp seed candy bars?
Oh, my God, I don't know.
Oh, no.
They
better not go there again.
I think that they don't care about people. There are other treatments for cancer, but, you know, a lot of times you're not allowed to mention them.
Well, that's the thing, you know, with me, as when the cancer came back because they took me off the marijuana, No one could have been more delighted, I'm sure, but the prosecutor. But the reality is that I did some research on the internet, and I found that it was basically I needed to boost my immune system, and I got some a hold of some really high-quality nutritional supplements, and I was able to get rid of the lump within 2 weeks, basically, and they did a CAT scan, and I was cancer-free within 4 weeks, and this is after my family practice doctor had felt a golf ball-sized tumor under my arm, and 3 nodes were up, and he had just made the referral to the cancer center to have me go through a battery of poison. And, mm-hmm. you know, they'd rather see me go through a battery of poison than take a bunch of nutrition, and now I take my nutritional shake every morning, and I'm stronger and healthier than ever.
Well, good, thanks. I hope you much luck and success and continue to have life.
It only takes one juror to use their discretion and their deliberative process, not necessarily to say, oh, I have to do whatever I'm told, but to think independently and to say not guilty. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and I think it's got to be the punishment meets the crime, because the punishment we're facing is 5 years in prison, and I have
minimum.
Two children, minimum, and I have two children under the age of 18, and a lot of responsibilities and a lot of patients who depend on me. And I don't think that there's any punishment that I should receive for having cared and loved this population of people who were so underserved. And it's come out over and over in the trial that we gave away free certifications for people who couldn't afford it and, you know, tried to do everything we could to get people the cow, so to speak, instead of just give them the milk. And that's the, one of the biggest things they're mad at us for, is that we tried to give them the cow.
Now, you had, there was a witness who has been on the stand since last week. Can you,
2 days. Are
you, can you say anything about that witness? Because I know the major media is probably not, I don't know who's in that. Do you see any of our local television or newspaper reporters
first
in there
day.
For every second of it?
No,
just
first
our
day.
Local Mountain Democrat up in the El Dorado County area.
Okay. But nobody from the B there every single day?
Not every day, no.
And nobody is, the AP hasn't gotten there either. And I'm really disappointed about that, because the AP needs to get there so that it can get back into the
yes.
New York Times.
And I can assure you that the federal prosecutors are delighted that the media isn't paying close attention to this case. Tell me about the witness who's been on the stand.
Well, his name is Paul. I don't want to give his last name out, but he used to work for us, and he's testified to all these things we purportedly did when he worked for us. The problem he has, I think one of the big problems he has, is he got caught in almost a 1,000-plant grow just after we fired him, and in order to get out of jail from that, he decided to snitch off 40 or 50 people.
So it's a plea deal. So, in other words,
yeah.
if he snitches on you.
First he fled the jurisdiction. He stole a bunch of money and a bunch of bicycles, and he impersonated another person. And
his
he
brother.
He impersonated his brother. And, you know, he did all these things. And then
and this is their star witness, right?
This
I mean, you
is
always
their star witness.
Right? I learned in law school, you always start, because we had trial advocacy. I did very well at that. You bring on your star first. You kind of come out of the blocks with your star
primacy
witness.
Primacy and recency and primacy for them. Their star witness is first. And he's been up there being ground down now for 2 days. He's
yeah,
going tomorrow.
And I just hope our attorneys kind of let him go now, because I think everybody on that jury
starting to
knows.
Feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
now.
No, they're not feeling sorry for him. They're just sick of him. It's just like, you know, he's a weasel and a slime, and just let him go.
So, jury, I don't want you listening to this program. I don't want you reading about it, even though nobody's really writing about it. Local television, come on. Mainstream media doesn't do anything that requires actual thinking. Anymore, and I know because I was involved in it in many years in the television news business, and I always used to complain, why can't we send a reporter there to sit there for the whole day?
Yeah.
No, we have to have somebody outside fluffing their hair and looking cute. So the only place you're going to hear anything, and clearly, admittedly, there's a bias. I think that Molly and Dale ought not be prosecuted. I want my federal prosecutors in this country, of which I'm once again a 10th generation American from Jamestown, Virginia, the first legal settlement in this country. I want our Justice Department to represent exactly that justice. And I want
truth.
Them to go after the bad guys, not Dr. Fry and Dale Schaefer.
The whole truth would be nice.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Whatever happened gagged. To the whole truth, huh?
But we're being gagged and bound and...
Yeah,
we can't say medical
and basically
marijuana.
Railroaded.
They
oh,
won't
yeah.
let you say
medical
we
marijuana.
Can't say medical
but
marijuana.
You can't try us without saying it, and it's just not going as well as they're hoping. And I'm just praying that the jury understands that my heart was in the right place, and my husband's heart was in the right place, and we were just trying to help sick people.
And there is no guilt here.
Yeah,
you hear that,
and
folks?
No
crime.
No
crime. No guilt.
It's terrible when God's law is in conflict with federal law.
Yeah. They need to shape up. The federal government needs to acknowledge. And they'll say, well, the courts will say, well, go to Congress for your remedy. So we're all going to turn the other way and not look at the truth. And in the interim, sick people don't get help. You come back tomorrow. Will you be in, back
we'll
tomorrow
be
and give
tomorrow.
Us an update? I want
we'll
to see what's up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Christine.
All right. We love our new listeners.
Hands are cold,
really
girl.
Terrific.
Cold
I
hands,
know.
Warm
cold
heart.
Cold hands, warm heart. Yeah, I'm 62 years old, and I'm going to keep fighting, all right? You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Also want to thank all of our listeners and Peter B. Collins Network. Peter will be back with you on Monday. He'll be back from Italia. He will tell you all about it. We look forward to that as well. In the meantime, have a wonderful evening, blah, 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 blah. It's called Stretch It Out, Baby. And I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here. Same time, same station. Bye-bye.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion. From an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They don't know whether six trapped coal miners are dead or alive, but officials at the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah say they're doing all they can to reach them.
There are four methods being used. Two are in the mine, trying to mine to them, and then there are two efforts going on with drilling. One is a direct route from the surface, and one is an indirect route underground.
The men have been trapped since very early today. Fields Mosley of CBS television affiliate KUTV is on the story.
The Crandall Canyon mine is a relatively small coal mine, but there were workers in there 24 hours a day, about 71 workers on each shift. What they say happened between 2:30 and 3 o'clock this morning, there was an earthquake, about a 4.0, and the epicenter was 5,000 feet away from where these miners were working. 10 miners were in that area. 4 of them got out. 6 are left unaccounted for at this time.
Was it an earthquake, or was the 3.9 magnitude jolt caused by the mine collapse itself? Latest word from University of Utah seismologists is they're not sure, but mine boss Robert Murray is certain.
Knowing the measurements of the earthquake on the Richter scale, knowing of the aftershocks, this happened from an earthquake. There's no doubt in my mind.
He says the epicenter was a mile away. In Minneapolis, the search for 8 people still missing after the bridge collapse intensified today.
It's a fluid plan with first and foremost the priority of honoring and working toward honoring the victims and treating that site with the deference it deserves until everybody is recovered.
Bob McFarlane of the Minnesota Transportation Department. Joining the search today, expert divers from the Navy and FBI and an unmanned submarine equipped with sonar and powerful lights. Authorities are looking into a possible terrorist connection in the arrests of 2 Middle Eastern men in South Carolina. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has details.
Authorities now say that the 2 Florida college students, one from Kuwait, the other from Egypt, allegedly had pipe bombs in their car when they were stopped for speeding outside Charleston, South Carolina. Raising suspicions, the arrest came not far from a Navy weapons facility, home to a brig where enemy combatants have been held.
According to an FBI affidavit, one of the suspects said he made the bombs from